This episode is brought to you by Geekade.com, where we create an array of podcasts, articles, and more for everyone, no matter what your geek is. And if you want to help us make even more content, please consider supporting us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Geekade. Now on with the show.
Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 259 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of June 21st, 2019. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight, as always, is Lighthouse Keeper Dan Ryan.
I was really hoping you were going to go with Lighthouse Keeper. I mean, it's not funny to anybody else. It's funny to us, though.
I thought of it mid-sentence and I was trying real hard not to laugh. Because I want to marry a Lighthouse Keeper.
Keep me company.
We're hitting the 10-20-30 a little early this month to accommodate some scheduling stuff, i.e. our panel this weekend. So you're just going to have to be okay with that. But before I go any further...
Shut up and deal.
I hear you bitching already.
Like, oh, these guys.
This crap again. What are you doing on my... on my podcast radio? Is that a thing? I don't know.
What are you doing on my second Friday of the month?
This isn't what I did. It's what I had planned. Screwing everything up.
You were supposed to come up with some jerks. Bullshit. That you've already done, but just slightly differently this time.
Before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. So, Dan, we didn't get to play catch-up last week, since we dove right into our E3 extravaganza, which I apologize was a little late for people who are using regular podcatchers. The episode... after lots and back and forth with different tech supports between Pinecast and iTunes, it seems that there was a phantom character created by the word processing tool we used to create our show notes that prevented the show from showing up in podcast feeds or something, which is just pure insanity. But it's fixed now, so chances are you probably listened to last week's episode. Yay. But yeah, sorry it was a little late.
I'm so excited, though, Chris. Like, in, like, 2-3 weeks, I'm going to have, like, an office again. And, like, an actual computer setup. It's going to be so nice.
Wow.
So excited.
I'm excited for you. So, besides you having a desk, what else is new in the world of Dan, huh? We didn't get to catch up.
Oh, God, nothing, man. Really, like, just packing. You know, it... because we left New Jersey originally in 2006, right? Way back in the halcyon days of 2006.
Aught-six.
Double aught-six, yes. A minute ago I was playing my flute, and no. Kill Bill reference. Anyway, and then we moved every year, like every summer. We ended up moving up until 3 years ago, and now we've been at this place back in New Jersey, a circuitous route back through, you know, the South. I'm like, oh, fuck Florida, we'll just make that mistake for 6 years, and oh, Texas, that's way hotter. So now it's like, man, you accumulate, I don't know if anybody else knows this, I may be the very first person to discover this, Chris, but if you stay in one place for a while, you build up quite a bit of shit.
Yeah, you do.
Who knew? Who knew? I had no idea. So, the amount of stuff that I'm going through, like just today, I was pulling boxes out of my attic of like, fuck even is this? This stuff that, like Kiwi crates that we subscribed for the girls to do science projects like 6 years ago. Why do I still have these? Why are they unused? A terrible parent. Often goes into the trash. I'm not going to use it now, obviously. So, that was a waste of money. But yeah, no, like, just packing and stressing about home buying. This is not fun.
Like, at all. I would definitely agree. The actual process of buying the home and, you know, signing the papers and, you know, just waiting for that last minute thing to fall through and
be a problem. This sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
This sucks. Like, it's not fun. Yeah, but I don't
when it's all
anything.
Over, then you get all the other fun pieces of home ownership. Like, you know, my chimney's pulling away from my house. I should do something about that.
Probably. I mean, I woke up this morning in the house that I'm in right now, and the dishwasher flooded. So nice. This morning, after the kids went off to school, my wife and I fucking fixed the dishwasher. So that's some shit I know how to do now.
Yeah, I installed a new dishwasher because our old one was beyond fixing. Some shit I know how to do now.
I mean, like, you know, fucking burden of necessity, I suppose. But, like, I can't
opposite
play video
side
games.
Of the spectrum, I tried fixing my stove, and that did not go well.
No? Is it gas or electric?
It's an electric stove. The problem is that it's got one of those touch panels. So, like, it doesn't have buttons. It's just, like, this solid thing of glass, and you just tap the glass, and the numbers get hit. Except that doesn't work anymore.
Oh, that's not good.
So, like, I can't use nines.
I mean, to be fair, there's not a lot of nines.
Oh, wait, no, it's zeros. I can't use the zeros.
Oh, that's way worse.
So I can't do 400, so we do 399. But then, like, four only works maybe 20% of the time. One of the start buttons doesn't work.
That's not ideal.
It's borderline unusable.
It's not ideal.
Like, we've had to really... There have been things thrown of us just, like, mashing our fingers on this thing, begging for it to understand. And apparently, this is a common flaw on this type of stove. So I watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how to fix it. But apparently, the specific model I have is just a tad bit different. So I took it all apart, and I tried to clean up the ribbon cable and everything on the inside, and then I put it all back together, and the stove was, like, giving me this weird error message. So I just left it unplugged for, like, a day, plugged it back in, everything was fine.
For now.
But then earlier today, we pulled open one of those fridges where the freezer is, like, a drawer at the bottom.
Yeah.
So we pulled that open, and there was a piece of the fridge in with the ice. And we're like,
it's not where it's supposed to be.
No, this should be connected to the refrigerator. The kids really like that drawer, so I'm going to blame them.
100% it was the children.
Yeah, there's no chance it wasn't. And I found where it broke off, and I think it's the thing that tells it the thing to make ice. So I think we kind of need that.
I mean, only if you want ice.
Yeah. Or maybe it's the thing that tells it to stop making ice when the freezer's open, so it doesn't just start dumping ice on the floor. I really don't know. Though. Either way, it is a large piece of plastic that seems important. So,
that definitely is somewhere where it should not be.
Yes, it should be connected to the refrigerator, not on my countertop.
Mm-mm.
So, we're thinking it might be time to go to Lowe's, open a line of credit, and get ourselves some new appliances that function like they're
That's
supposed
fun. To. Because you got to get the refrigerator that hooks up to the internet.
Well, see, that's what we really want to do. We were looking at the one that's got like a camera, so like
it's
I can
so
check
dumb.
At work and say like, "Yo, how's the milk?" And I can look up online. Oh, that's how the milk's doing. How you doing, milk?
It's so fucking stupid.
But at the same time, like I want to make a grocery list at work. Crap, do I have mustard? I can check the fridge at work. Oh,
I know, but there's actual problems in the world.
Yes, and whether or not I have mustard is one of them.
No, it's not. It's not. It is not something you need to be able to check with your home security system.
Are you? What home? Number one, how dare you insinuate I have a home security system?
Well, your fridge will now double as a fucking nest. Shit's ridiculous.
I mean, I want the one that doubles as a bomb shelter because, you know...
I actually do want one, and I want it to talk to me in fucking Hal voice.
I want to be able to watch
You're
Netflix
running low
on my
on mayonnaise,
fridge.
Dan. I'm like, oh shit! All right, I'm sorry, fridge.
I want to be able to make the grocery list like on the fridge. You know, like the big old screen. Just go over there and be like, well, I'm all out of mustard. I don't think you understand how important mustard is to my life, Dan.
Apparently not. I've thrown it up quite a few times. Are you a brown mustard? Yellow mustard?
Yes.
All of them? Stone ground? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I have obviously. In my fridge currently at least four different mustards.
That's at least three too many mustards, Chris.
I could not disagree more.
I have 17 mayos. That is the appropriate amount of mayonnaise.
That is horrifying.
See, this is why people listen to this show, Chris. Where else are you going to get fucking condiment talk this early in a podcast? This is usually the shit people say for when they're out of stuff to talk about.
This not is us. Just, this is a headliner.
Not even a headliner. This is a fucking tease. This is foreplay. That's right. The Stone Age Gamer, our foreplay involves condiments. Just...
That's a hell of a sentence.
I mean, no, I've seen those too, because we're going to have to buy a new fridge at the house that we're buying as well, because it doesn't really fit in the spot that they put it in, because it's got like one of those, you know, like the built-in fridge thing with the two little drawers on top that, or the cabinet on top that you just throw a bunch of like weird shit in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's got that, but it doesn't quite fit. They kind of muscled it in there, so it's a little pulled away from the wall. So we're going to have to take that shit down and get a new fridge anyway. And I keep trying to talk Tiff into the, you know, like, let's get the one with the screen. And she just looks at me like I'm a fucking idiot. I can't really explain why I want it.
Well, it's completely but absurd until you think about it. Like,
no,
until
it's
you
still
realize...
absurd. It's still absurd.
Is it? Is it?
It is, though.
I think it sounds incredibly useful. I think the ability to be able to, like, right there on the fridge, like, oh, I don't need to grab my phone or grab a pen and paper or remember that I'm all out of this shit because I just opened up the fridge and, oh no, the milk's gone bad. I need more milk. And then you just poke it into the fridge and say, yeah. I need more milk. And then that syncs with your phone where your grocery list is. So when you're off getting groceries, you're not going to forget that you need new milk and or mustard.
But let's be honest, Chris. You have children. Uh-huh. You always need milk.
Oh, yes, that's true. Okay,
when
so milk
you go
is
to
a bad
store,
example.
You get milk. That's just a thing.
It is Taco Tuesday, okay? Now, when I was at the grocery store, I forgot to buy refried beans. So I had tacos tonight with no refried beans, which I know is a relatively normal thing. But in this house, I like refried beans on my tacos. And tonight,
who doesn't?
My Taco Tuesday was slightly hindered by the lack of refried beans because I forgot to get them. And I wouldn't have forgotten to get them if my fridge told me to get them.
But your fridge wouldn't have told you to get them because you forgot to tell your fridge to tell you to remember.
But I can't tell my fridge things now because my fridge isn't a smart fridge. I got a dumb fridge. I got a dumbass fridge. With a broken piece of plastic in the ice tray. So I've been playing games.
On my fridge, obviously.
On my fridge.
I've been playing fucking Angry Birds on my fridge. It's the only thing it can run. That and Plants vs. Zombies. It's fucking great. It's the future, Chris.
Now, if your fridge could play pad.
Oh, we would have seven.
Just line them up. Pull up a chair.
Line them up. Well, we'd have the fridge, right? Yeah. And then we'd have the office fridge, and then we'd have the garage fridge, and then the backyard fridge, and then the bedroom fridge. And then when you're already up at that many fridges, obviously you have money to just throw around. So you just buy a weird number, like, I'll take seven. Make somebody's fucking day at Lowe's with their commission-driven salesmanship.
Refrigerators really take up a lot of electricity.
That's the kind of thing, though. Like, if you have to ask how much money it is to fuel up a yacht, you can't afford it.
That's
you have to
point.
Worry about how much electricity you're using to run seven refrigerators. Can't afford it anyway. I, on the other hand, apparently can. I can't, even a little bit. It's not true at all.
Fat refrigerator stacks right there, ready to roll. So I have to say that I think, and I know this might be disappointing, I think I might be done with Hollow Knight. I have put a decent chunk of time into it, and it just refuses to click with me. And
I'm
now
so
every
sad
time,
about that.
I'm kind of bummed about it, too, because I looked at the, you know, we talked a little bit about Silksong last week, how it looked like they were fixing some of the issues with it. And it just kind of, the map thing is so broken into how I intrinsically enjoy these kinds of games.
Sure.
That, I a couple of nights ago, I had a bunch of free time to play some games, and I booted up Hollow Knight, and I just started falling asleep. And I kind of dread, like, every time I boot it up, it feels like work. And that's not really... It's not where I'm at right now, because I have so many games to play. Like, if I didn't have this enormous backlog of games that I'm genuinely excited to play right now, I would power through it because I'm convinced that eventually this would work for me. Eventually I would just get enough of the hang of it. But the problem is that every time I play it, I wind up running around in circles over and over again. I keep going to the same places and going and getting stuck at the same spots. And traversal isn't fun enough for me to be okay with that happening.
Well, you know, it gets fun when you get certain things, but until you get the, like, Hollow Knight, it's not a game that works an hour at a time.
Yeah, and I kind of have more than an hour at a time. Like, most of my play sessions with the game are, like, an hour, hour and a half. And it's just not... I look at the map, and I'm like, okay, where do I go next? What spots on this map haven't I been able to get to? And since it doesn't auto-fill, I can't actually tell if this open spot on the map is somewhere I haven't been. And or once I get there, it'll be like, oh, well, there's this weird black misty situation going on here that I can't get past because I don't have whatever item progresses past that. But I don't have anything to mark on my map that says that's what the problem is, or any sort of thing that says, oh, well, this is an area that you can't get to right now, but at least you know you've been here.
Right. And you you can buy markers.
You can.
But that's not a good way to solve that problem.
It's not, and I also haven't bought the markers because, you know, at the point where I was at the store, I didn't have a whole lot of cash, and I was like, oh, crap, do I actually want to spend this money on this? Because I was afraid I was going to come across some sort of very useful item that would be like, oh, well, you need this item, and it's 6,000 fossils or whatever the heck those things are, and I wouldn't have them because I spent all this money on markers for my map. And it's such an unnecessary thing, you know?
It is that part of it. And that was my complaint with the game the whole time. I mean, if you think back to when I was talking about it, like, the map system is awful. It's awful. There is no way around the fact that that is just a shitty way to do that. And, like, having to sacrifice a charm slot to be able to see where you are on the map is dumb. That's not good game design. That's fucking stupid.
Completely and totally agree.
And I adore this game. I think everybody should play it. I think everybody should, like I said, it is not a game. Like, if you can play it for like 45 minutes once a week,
I agree.
It's so dense. You need to spend time with it.
Let me find my conversation. I was talking with Dean about it, about how I just wasn't sure if I was going to be able to stick with it. And, I forget what I said. I am blah, rolling past this. I think I'm about 6 hours. Yeah, I'm about 6 hours into the game. And, like, if 6 hours isn't enough for me to be convinced that I should keep playing something, I gotta move on.
Yeah. I mean, 6 hours in 6 weeks, though, is not really the way to do that. And, like... It's like, if you think back to how it was when we played Metroid for the first time, we were drawing maps. Because if you didn't, you were running around in circles.
Yeah.
Or you didn't have any other games and you just played it constantly to where you knew that world. Right? It got to the point in Hollow Knight because I'm like 40-something hours into it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it would take me a little bit if I jump back into it now, but like at a certain point, I didn't need the map anymore.
Yeah, I get that.
I got to that point, but it takes a while, especially if it's disjointed playthroughs, because it's a lot of the secret areas and different things that you need to do are not entirely well highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am hopeful that some of those criticisms, because we are obviously not the only two people who have been like, hey, you know, this map system, kind of wonky, maybe you look at that. You know, hopefully Silksong will be able to fix a lot of those issues, because fuck, that game looks good.
It does, and I like the look, I like the world, I like the idea, but like I said, I'm not having enough fun playing it. Like, it's a Metroidvania thing, that it's not a thing that I'm not familiar with. I mean, sure. I had a pretty similar experience with Axiom Verge, where I didn't like it immediately, but within an hour, it proved to me that it was worth my time, and I went forward with it. I finished Monster Boy. I finished Gato Roboto. Like, in no right. time, those games showed me why I should finish them. And this one, it's like, as much fun as I want to be having with it, it's not. Other things keep coming up, and I'm rather playing these other things instead of like, well, I should really finish Hollow Knight first. And instead I'm like, well, I would rather play this, so I'm going to do this now, and I'll work on Hollow Knight later, and I'll work on it later. And because that keeps happening, I just might. I'm not 100% sold. It's not like a Save Me, Mr. Taco situation where it's just right. like, I just don't think this is a very good game as much as I want to.
Right.
And I do think that Hollow Knight is a good game. I just don't know if it's a good game for me. You know,
maybe not at this time. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I want to be able to. I picked it up when I was. I went and visited my brother-in-law, and I brought the Switch with me, and I picked it up, and I made some progress. Like, I just happened to pick the right direction, and I got to a whole new area that I hadn't been to, and I was like, this is cool. All right, I'm back in it. But then I played again later, and I got nowhere. And then I played again the next night, and I got nowhere. And then I played again the next night, and I got nowhere. So that was three nights wasted. Like, I made zero progress, just. I just picked a spot on the map, and it was somewhere I'd already been. And then I picked another spot on the map, and it was somewhere I'd already been. And I just did that for three nights in a row. And I'm like, I could have been doing so much else with those nights
yeah.
rather than playing something that I've already played, just running through this exact same spot again because I'm freaking lost.
I am very sad that you are stuck with it so much. I mean, yeah. again, I cannot stress enough, because of the brokenness of the map system, to anyone who has not played Hollow Knight yet, if you are thinking about playing it, and I do think you should, play it with a strategy guide from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's one. Another thought I had, is maybe I should just find where I am in a walkthrough and
I had to
get myself moving. Like,
I had to. There was a point where I got stuck, and I was like, fuck, I really like this game, but I don't have the double jump. I don't fucking know where it is. I can't goddamn find it. I can't. Like, I was just looking all over and like, I'm back in this fucking section. Well, I'm back over here. It's not mm-hmm. over here. I can't get to this bit yet. Son of a bitch. And eventually I just broke down and was like, all right, give me the thing. And once I got the double jump, I was like, oh, look, all of these areas I couldn't get to. Awesome. You know? Yeah. And then...
Maybe that's worth the effort.
My suggestion would be for you, if you are struggling that much with it, is take a break and start over. Like, honestly, if you're that stuck, you're not that far that you won't be able to get back to where you are with a strategy guide in like an hour and a half. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I hear that. I just don't know if I want to do the beginning of the game over again. But then again, you're right. I've already been through it so many times. Maybe it's not a terrible idea to start over. It's just I take a certain amount of pride in being able to figure these things out for myself.
Sure.
And I know that's kind of bullheaded, especially considering I just did Castlevania 2 with a walkthrough. But
well, there are just certain games that are a bit more obtuse, and it's usually games that come from a studio like Team Cherry, because there's fucking three dudes. They know the game. They know the world that they're making. It's obvious to them, but there's not that legion of playtesters to go through and be like, nah, nope, you need like a glowy bit over here.
Yeah, but this is such basic shit. This is like they looked at it and said, you know what we should do? We should do the map system from Kid Icarus, like the first one. That's what we're going to do. You can't do anything until you find the pencil and the torch and the map itself.
Yeah.
People liked that, right? We haven't evolved past that yet. Like, no, we fixed this in Super Metroid. Like, we fixed this in, what was it, 1994 or something? Like,
yeah,
come on, guys.
There's some antiquated game design. I mean, they're Australian. Shit moves slower there. That's what I've heard. Is that true of Australia? I don't know.
I think so. I mean, they drink Fosters. Those things are huge.
They really are. And not that good. I mean, honestly, if you're going to drink a cheap macro lager, drink PBR.
Word.
I know it's your favorite. Or yeah. Honestly, Miller Lite. you know.
So Hollow Knight progress may be halted. I'm still in the air on that. And part of it is because of how much fun I'm having with the other things I'm playing. I have been diving pretty headlong into the Castlevania collection.
Mm-hmm.
I think last we spoke, I had finished Simon's Quest, right? Mm-hmm. Did I finish it?
Processed all of Dracula's body.
I did. I've now beaten Dracula's Curse and Super Castlevania 4, and I'm on to the Castlevania Adventure,
which is
very slow and a little wonky on this collection. It seems to be a little buggier than I remember it. Lots of, like, weird visual glitches. Nothing game-breaking. I mean, if you can even break a game like Castlevania Adventure, which is, like, so ploddingly slow and cheap sometimes. But
so fucking cheap.
But I'm having fun with it, and I know it's not a very long game, so I'm just going to kind of... I'm going to keep blasting through it because I'm having so much fun with this collection. It's nice to reconnect with Castlevania because I feel like I haven't played it in such a long time and really connected with it for ages.
What did you think of Castlevania 3 with a fresh set of eyes?
I still really liked it. And I was kind of thinking, like, boy, this was fun, but the only character I unlocked was Sifa, so I'd like to, you know, go find Grant and Alucard while I'm at it.
You didn't unlock the other two?
Not this playthrough. I've done it before. I think the first time I beat it on NES when I was younger was with Alucard in my party. And I didn't use any sort of guide or anything. I just kind of, you know, blew through it and liberally used save states because Castlevania 3 is ridiculously cheap and hard sometimes.
Yep.
So I pretty much used my rule was the start of every new screen, like every, you know, big door you go through or something. Every new chunk was a new save point for me. That's just how I rolled with that. And I did it pretty well, and it was a lot of fun. But also, just this morning, the update came out that included the Japanese versions of the games.
Oh, nice.
Which didn't include the Japanese version of Simon's Quest, which I thought was a weird omission. But, I mean, I do think that the music is actually better in the American version on that one, which is the, you know, flip side of Castlevania 3, where the music is, like, ridiculously awesome in the Japanese version and just, like, super awesome in the American one. So that is kind of an excuse for me to go back and replay that one again, although, given my backlog, maybe I probably won't, at least not for a long time. I'd just like to make it through each one of these, you know, step by step, and just go through all of them in order, because, you know, like I said before, I've beaten Adventure, I've beaten Belmont's Revenge, but it's been a couple of years since they came out on 3DS. No, Belmont's Revenge didn't come out on 3DS, I don't think. So it's been a long time since I've beaten Belmont's Revenge. So that's really exciting, because I remember really liking that one.
And you need to get through all of these so that you can play Bloodstained.
Indeed, which I have, since I'm getting the Switch one, I have an extra week. Because that came out today on all the other platforms, but I have an extra week to get through the Adventure, Belmont's Revenge, and Bloodlines. I don't know, maybe.
I'd take Bloodlines, man. I like it.
Bloodlines is great, but I've never beaten it before. So that one I'm really excited to spend some real time with, because, you know, my friend had it, but I never had it until pretty recently, actually, was when I finally got my own copy. So I'm really excited about that. I'm having so much fun with the Castlevania collection. It was such a good buy, and after I'm done with it, I can't wait to move on to the Contra one and blow through those games, because I love Contra too. Before I get to my biggest happiness, I do want to say that I did dive into Pokemon Let's Go again. Because I realized I just never finished that game, and since my son kind of fell off of his super interest in it, he's been obsessed with Horizon Chase Turbo, so anytime we play Switch, that's what he plays now. So I decided I'm just going to keep playing this on my own now. I finally put together a team of non-crappy Pokemon, because his idea was just like, I like this one, it's cool. I'm like, awesome, we're fighting like level 50 Pokemon right now, and he's a level 5.
You're coming in with a level 5 Treecko.
Yeah, he's just going to die immediately. But I get it, he looks cool, so let's stick with him.
Let's do it.
So I finally swapped it out for a decent team, I think. Of what I have. See, everything's leveled up so weird because John had me constantly switching Pokemon in these weird groups, but I think I'm in okay shape, and I only have like 3 gym leaders left, so I'm going to polish off that game to have that one under my belt and check off my list. But the thing that has just blown my mind is Cadence of Hyrule. wow, that game is good.
Really?
It's knocking my... It just completely floored me. So, I talked before how I didn't really like... I didn't really get Crypt of the Necrodancer, right? I downloaded the demo, and it just didn't... It didn't connect with me. I didn't quite get it. Cadence of Hyrule is a lot more forgiving when you're learning the basics of it. And I didn't get it at first either. Like, it was just like Necrodancer. I was like, I'm dying over and over again, and I can't figure out how I'm supposed to think about this. Because what's weird about this game is that it's a rhythm game, but it doesn't play like any other rhythm game.
Right.
Like, you think of something like Amplitude, Guitar Man, Rhythm Heaven, the Theater Rhythm. Those games have a... Like, this is the kind of thing you're doing, right? Like Parappa the Rapper. Any of those things have a very... This is what it's like to play a rhythm game.
Right.
This is nothing like that, because it is... It's playing a top-down Zelda game, but all of your movements, all of the things you do have to be in rhythm.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It is. It's bonkers. I've never played anything like it before. So it didn't click with me in Necrodancer, because... Like, the combat is so strange. You don't, like, press a button to swing your sword or anything like that. The combat is, like, pressing the direction towards the thing that you're hitting. Kind of like, I think that's how it kind of worked in, like, Wanderers from East or something, where you'd, like, just kind of run into things.
I don't even remember at this point.
But it's similar to that. So you have to do that, but you also have to make sure you're not taking damage... Like, either from another side, or that the move that's going to get you in close enough proximity to attack them isn't going to be, like, a move that gets you hurt by something that's charging you. I was able to kind of make the game feel a lot easier by getting a spear weapon that allowed me to attack a block away instead of the block next to him. Because everything's totally gridded, and when you're playing and there's enemies on the screen... You only have to be in rhythm when there's enemies on the screen. Once you've killed all the enemies on a screen, then you can move around freely, which is cool. And it's very, very cool and helpful for solving puzzles, like, how do I get to this treasure chest, or where's this thing hidden? But as long as there's an enemy living somewhere, the music is different, more intense, and there's this, like, checkerboard thing going on the screen that just kind of keeps you in the rhythm. And you get more powerful the more, like, if you miss a beat in this one... In Necrodancer, when you missed a beat, it was just like sucking away your health. And in this one, it kind of lowers your power. So if you get a bunch of good notes in a row, then you're stronger and your attacks will do more damage. But if you miss, then it like starts that gauge over again. I think it has other effects too, but I've gotten to the point where I don't miss a lot of beats anymore. But then you do eventually get things like, I just got the bow and arrow. And that is really neat, because... You have to plan for it so differently, because it's almost turn-based, you know, but the turn-based is on a constant, fast rhythm. So in order to use the bow and arrow, one move is drawing it, and the other move is letting go.
Okay.
So that's two turns, and your enemies are also moving, so you have to, like, look at their pattern and say, they're going to be here two moves from now, so I'm going to go... Draw, release, and then when it releases, it immediately goes right over there and hits them. But other projectile-type things, like fireballs, they move to the rhythm, too. So, like, say you're fighting an Octorok who comes out and he spits a rock at you, you've got to block it with your shield, but then the rock is going to move back square by square to the rhythm as well. It's freaking bonkers, man, but the music is so good, the visuals are amazing, I just can't say enough good things about it. I'm completely in love with it, and I never want to stop playing it. But I occasionally have to, because, like, last night, I usually play video games while we're recording this week's episode, because
not important.
I can be more passive on that one in my conversation.
That show doesn't deserve my full attention, let's be honest.
But I can't play... I couldn't play Cadence of Hyrule during that, because you need the music. It's not the kind of game that you can play just subconsciously. Like, usually I'm playing Super Mario Brothers or something that actually doesn't require much attention.
Right.
Because I'm not actively looking at notes like I am during Stone Age Gamer. Whereas Cadence of Hyrule is like, I really wanted to play it last night, but I want to hear the music. I need to hear the music. Or I wanted to play Castlevania Collection, but really the only truly redeeming quality of Castlevania Adventure is the music. So playing that game on mute sounds like a fucking nightmare. So
yeah, no, that's not great.
Yeah, because it's
not a great idea.
It's a decent game, but it becomes a great game because of the music, because the soundtrack is so good. It's the only thing that really makes it tolerable.
Yeah, it is clunky as fuck at
best.
It
really is. Christopher Belmont is so slow.
Oh god, it is nigh intolerable.
It really is. But yeah, Cadence of Hyrule gets, if I had, there's just not even enough thumbs. I'm so excited. I'd give them all the thumbs up to play this game. It's so fun. It's so unique. It's so charming. And it's like, it's so wild because it's a freaking indie game that Nintendo is like, this is cool. Let's do one of those with our big properties. Like, that's so ridiculous.
That is cool.
I'm in love with this game. It is so worth the money. I heard some folks like complaining about it, like, oh, it's $25. That's too expensive. Like, no, it's not.
Just, yeah, I mean, a full-fledged Zelda game for $25. Nintendo's not giving you that.
No, they're really not.
Ever.
I'm pretty sure this game is going to be about as long as Link's Awakening, or maybe a little bit less. And Link's Awakening is going to be a $60 game, which I will pay with a smile.
Sure. Sure.
There's still that little thing in the back of my head, like, it didn't add much, and it's just a Game Boy game. And I know
should probably still be 40, but whatever.
It should still be 40.
Not what Nintendo
but I'm
does.
Gonna get $60 worth of joy out of that game.
Oh, sure.
And I got my $25 worth out of Cadence of Hyrule in like an hour. I just how much when it finally clicked, how much fun it was to play was unbelievable. Just out of control, unbelievable.
Yeah, like, it's an interesting value proposition that we put on games now, like, as adults with families and jobs and responsibilities and shit like that, right? Like, right now, Persona 5, by all accounts, that is a game that I will love. It's $13.99 right now on the PlayStation Store. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get $14 worth of value out of Persona 5. Probably quite a while. You know what I mean? Like, that's... because that's a deep game that I need to put a lot into.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of scares me about it. Like, I'm almost glad Persona 5 hasn't come to Switch yet, because I'd probably buy it because I'm very interested in it. Because I have some friends of mine who are super big Persona fans, but...
yeah.
Again, I just don't know if I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. It's the same reason I haven't played Xenoblade Chronicles yet. Like, I'm sure it's good, and I'm sure I'd love it, but it's got to be something that's like... like, Breath of the Wild, I shouldn't have loved as much as I did. And I shouldn't have gotten what I got out of that game, but I became obsessed with it. And it was able to work with me. And it's a very uncommon thing for that to click with me.
Yeah.
Like, Horizon Zero Dawn should have clicked with me by now. But similar to Hollow Knight, it just hasn't.
Yeah.
And it's... one of those things I need to work on because, you know, I have to play that game. I am obligated to play that game, and I will, love it. But
right, God of War. You haven't started that yet.
And I haven't even sniffed it.
And I'm not even being shitty about that. That's a game you need to play. But at what point are you going to get the value out of that?
Exactly. And I'm glad that you lent it to me instead of me having to buy it, because I just don't know that I would play it. Because if we were... one of the things that I was going to talk about is that I did a bunch of game room organization, and my friend Mike, you know, Mike Sheridan, friend of the show, he pulled out we were organized by PS3 games. Like, so you got a couple of sealed PS3 games. So you got a God of War 3 and a Final Fantasy 13. Like, yep, I sure bought those at full price on launch day.
Yep. Never even opened them. It was so crazy. Like, I was taking shit out of the attic this morning, and turned on the PS3, because that's up in the bedroom, and, like, Okami HD was on there, and I was like, fuck, I barely even played that. And that, like, that's a game for me. You know what I mean? Like, Okami HD, like, that is for me. And then, like, the Scott Pilgrim beat 'em up is on there, and I was like, oh, fuck, I should go play that, and Portal 2, and The Cave, and like all these PS3 games that I had downloaded. And then I got sad because I tried to watch WWE Network, and they were like, we no longer support the PS3. And I was like, well, fuck, man. That's not cool. And I was like, all right, well, I'll watch like the next episode of Chernobyl or some Bill Maher or some shit. It was HBO Go. We no longer support PS3. I was like, look, you fuckers. So I watched Captain Marvel on Amazon. But
nice.
You know, like, it's just kind of interesting to go back and look at those games. It's like, fuck, I bought this game. I want to play this game. But I'm looking at PS3 games I haven't even finished yet. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Talking about the PlayStation 5 coming out sometime soon. God damn it.
It's too many games.
Too many games. Speaking of too many games, Chris.
Yeah, we're gonna be there.
We're going to be there this weekend.
That's right, this weekend. Tomorrow, on my birthday. Tomorrow for you.
Your birthday. I'm
Saturday, June
anything.
22nd. your presence
I got you last year.
Is the present.
Same thing I got you last year and the year before.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be doing our panel at Too Many Games. It's at 2 in the afternoon, I think. I forget.
Yes.
In panel room 2. And we are going to be doing our Buy Something, Will Ya? And we're going to be doing a Stone Age Showdown for best video game, what was it, Mad Scientists.
And it's always interesting because, like, we record the podcast and... I don't often filter myself all that often on just there. That was a horrible sentence that I should have filtered. I don't often filter myself all that often. Who fucking lets me talk? You know, but when we do these live shows, there's like little kids there.
Yeah.
So I can't walk out there and be like, whoa, what the fuck, everybody? Yeah, how you doing? You know? So I mean, I probably should.
I would pay money to see you just wandering. Yo, what the fuck am I?
Fucking fuck. That's right. Oh, my wife just gave me a jar. I can't open this. It's embarrassing. Oh, there we go. Did you hear the pop? I got it.
I did.
I am all that is man. I don't know how I'm going to be able to discuss some of the shit that is going to come up in this live show in a PG-13 manner.
Well, I'm pretty sure my kids are going to be there, so it's nothing they haven't heard.
I know. but like, they're your kids. Fuck them. It's fine. Their lives are already a shit show. That's not true. It might be true. I don't know. But like other people's kids,
we won't have
my daughter there to issue the warning before. Or can I bring my family? Can we get them in and not pay and just so Penny can do the warning before we go live?
I doubt it, but can she fit in a backpack?
I mean, she could. A very large backpack.
It's possible.
Some people call a suitcase.
We'll have to see about it.
I mean, you know.
So yes, Too Many Games. If you're in the Philadelphia area, come see us. Come see our show. It should be a lot of fun. And we're also going to be promoting the Pain in the Ass-a-thon, which is August 10th and 11th.
You sounded so confident there. That's what's great about this show.
It's on a different note.
Which is August, which is how everyone says it.
Yeah. Oh, that's how you spell it, right?
A-A-A-A-A-U-U-U-U.
August. Yes, Pain in the Ass-a-thon, August 10th and 11th. TwitchTV.geekade. It's our annual event with the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. We're going to be raising money for them by playing 24 hours of Pain in the Ass games. We're going to have a bunch of bonus rounds afterwards with a bunch of other streamers, like the folks from Poorly Played Games is going to do some stuff. Samwise Game G is going to be doing some stuff. It's going to be a hoot.
Yeah, so, just send us money.
Yeah, just send us money for charity.
Basically. Yeah, this time for like a good reason.
Yeah, not just our regular begging for money. Begging for money.
We appreciate our Patreon subscribers, and I don't know what we're doing with the money yet.
It's basically paying for the website. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like it's not. We're not getting rich off of it. So
no, we have made the website still costs us more than we earn, but it is nice to have that somewhat subsidized,
which is pretty sweet. So yeah. You know, but this time, like, we're trying to do a good thing, man. Don't be fucking stingy.
Yeah, how dare you?
How dare you? This is a serious issue, Chris.
It is.
People need to care.
Speaking of caring, I had a pretty damn wonderful Father's Day.
I did too.
Yeah?
What did you do?
Well, my wife asked me what do I want for Father's Day? And I said, honestly,
I said for you to leave me the fuck alone. Just all of you go away.
That's kind of what happened. I said, honestly, what I want more than anything is to spend a day uninterrupted in the basement organizing my stuff. I just want to organize my video game collection. That's what I want for Father's Day. And Karen was like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, it's cheap.
So then I was talking to my friend Mike. I was talking to Mike Sheridan, and I was like, you know what? Maybe you should come visit, because he and his wife were talking about coming to visit for quite a while. And he was like, well, I'm available next weekend, but it's Father's Day. I'm like, well, as a matter of fact, my Father's Day present is organizing my game collection. And Mike and I keep talking, like, Mike's like, yo, when you're ready to organize your video game collection, I want to come help you with that.
Right.
And so that's what happened.
He doesn't have children.
He does not have children.
That's an important part of this story, because like, if you leave that out, people are going to be like, but what about Mike's kids?
Yeah. No, Mike doesn't have kids. He has a rabbit named Iroh, but that's it. So they came and visited. They spent the night on Saturday night, and then Sunday morning, Mike and I got up and we tore this place apart, and it was amazing. We got it all done. I was able to consolidate so much stuff, and it was just like. It was something Mike had always wanted to do, was like really go through what I have, and then like at the same time, he's like, oh, cool, you got this, you got both N64 Castlevania games complete in the box. I both hate and love you.
He's just looking for shit to steal when he eventually murders you in your sleep.
True, but I did send him home with a lot of stuff.
Well, that's nice.
Because we were just looking through these things. There's all this stuff months. I have that I don't want.
Right.
It's just happened to come into my possession, or I've had multiples of them. And he was like, we were looking at my handheld game systems. And it's like, I was like, oh, hey, look, here are my Atari Lynxes. I'm like, he's like, Lynxes? I was like, yeah, I have two of them. It's both the same one, Model 2s, and one of them's missing two of the buttons. You want it? He was like, I don't have a Lynx. Sure. I'm like, awesome. Get this one off of my hands now. I'm down to one. Done. I have one.
I don't have to look at now.
Exactly. This one that's missing buttons. I don't have to look at this anymore. So, hooray. And then I was like, hey, wait a second. I have two copies of Road Blasters and two copies of California games for Atari Lynx. I can get rid of those, too. I hooked Mike up with a couple of Lynx games, and he left with the Lynx and a couple of games. And just a handful of other little things, too. Just you want it? Cool. It's yours. Send him home with a big old box full of stuff I didn't need anymore.
It's nice to be able to do that.
It is. And the shelf thing that I was talking about, remember when I was talking about those box shelves and the wires? I actually did the thing where I created two more. So there's four more systems, but I put shelves in front of them so they're wired off so the kids can't get to them. And I went
with an
Xbox, a PlayStation 2, my AV modded Atari 7800, and my Turbo Duo.
Very nice.
The Turbo Duo, however, needs some work. I don't have an AV or an AC for it, so I don't even know if it works. If it doesn't, I'm going to send it into the guys over at Stone Age Gamer at the store, and they're going to take a look at it and see if they can get it all functional and cleaned up for me.
Right.
But if it does work, then bully for me, I got to start buying some Turbo CD games, because I've had this thing for ages, and I've never been able to turn it on because I've never had the power supply.
It's a
completely proprietary thing. So, you know, I'm looking through my very, very meager TG-16 collection, and I'm like, I really ought to get myself a Turbo Everdrive, because buying these games that I want for TurboGrafx is not cheap.
No, God, no. That system is just continuing to skyrocket. That is the only one. It's the only one I regret. I don't even regret getting rid of my black Sega Sports Dreamcast. That's one that people like actually want. You know, I'm like, whatever. I don't fucking care.
It's pretty neat. As a matter of fact, speaking of that Dreamcast, I'm kind of thinking of figuring out if there's a way I can strip the Sega Sports logo off of it safely. Because it would be pretty sweet to have just a solid, because I don't care about Sega Sports. And it's not like I'm holding on to this for its historical and resale value.
No, sure, it just looks better.
It does. My white one's starting to get kind of yellowed, so yeah. I'd like to, you know, make this one solid black. That and the controller, that'd be pretty rad.
That would be really awesome. But, like,
yeah, no, I get it.
That's the one. I am so upset with my, you know, 16, 17-year-old self, however old I was when I got rid of my TurboGrafx and all the games.
Yeah, that is a darn shame.
But the TG-16 Classic, or the Mini, or whatever the fuck we're calling it,
yeah,
could not be any more excited about that.
I really hope it's good. I mean, it's Konami. We all know how much we can trust them, but...
I mean,
they
but
did
when,
a bang up job with these Castlevania collections. The retro collections they just did have been really good. So,
and when Konami like gives a fuck, they can put out a decent product, and it really doesn't need to do much.
Yeah, like, it really just needs to turn on and play the games.
The fact that there's three quote unquote editions of it, but that they're really only being shipped to the countries that are most familiar with that look of the system tells mm-hmm. me that they get it.
That they at least put some thought into it, yeah.
They understand what this is, right?
It does not appear to be a PlayStation Mini situation.
No, not at all. And, I mean, it's all going to come down to the games. Like, if it does not have Splatterhouse on it, I don't know how you can even put it out. Right? You know, like...
Yeah.
There's certain things that are so singularly TurboGrafx games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm so in. This is I am more excited for this one than I have been for any of them.
I get that. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm also pretty excited about the Genesis one because,
I hope that's great too.
It seems to be the impressions from E3 are all like, you know, double thumbs up, but. Any hoosiers, so that whole Game Room project was really, really fun. I'm going to be writing about that probably next week on the Stone Age Gamer blog.
That's awesome. I am very excited to be able to set something up in my new house of, you know, Tiff and I have been, like, drawing out plans and, like, on grid paper and measuring shit and being, like, super nerdy about it of, like, all right, well, we can put this here and we can build this kind of desk and we can do this stuff and, like, you know, just... Stuff like even stuff going so far as like posters that I can't hang up in my house because it's not necessarily like as an adult with a family, you don't necessarily want to walk into another adult's house and be like, oh, sweet, that's an awesome framed Clockwork Orange poster you have hanging up, like next to your framed Pulp Fiction poster. Cool. You know, but, like, stuff that I got from, like, movie theaters and old school shit mm-hmm. and, like, original prints of these things, like, that I have framed and that are nice and belong in an office kind of thing. Like, this
yeah.
is where I, you
yeah.
know, this is where this shit goes. I can actually do that now.
Yeah, like, I have a giant framed Star Wars one sheet. I have the Princess Bride. I'm sitting next to a Mystery Science Theater the movie poster, and that mm-hmm. goes up in my basement because... That's where it belongs.
In my living room. I mean, I really want it in my living room, but I understand why it shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I get that.
All right, I got two more things I want to talk about before we go to the break.
Holy moly, this is going to be a short one.
Yeah, right? First thing is the Intellivision Amico. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a couple times on the show.
Right.
And
without knowing anything about it.
Well, this is the one we do know some stuff about.
Oh, wait, no, this is the one. Sorry.
Yeah, this isn't the Atari VCS. Yeah, this is the Amico. They had a showing at E3, but it was all behind closed doors.
Right.
So we don't get to actually see any of it. We just got to take their word for that it went really well. Yes, that is kind of shitty. So I have said multiple times that I am rooting for the Intellivision Amico.
Of course.
But I also have said, you know, several times that I don't necessarily get Tommy Tallarico as a person. I don't necessarily, I just don't follow him the way he talks sometimes. But the whole thing that the Amico is going for is this, they're creating an entirely unique, all exclusive games. Everything is rated E for everyone.
Right.
Like, that's the ecosystem that they're trying to create. And I get it, and I think that is a very interesting idea. I think it's a risky idea, but it is a unique idea, and it's something that will make the Amico stick out as having something that has its own identity, which is a problem that the VCS has. It has no identity.
None. Yeah.
So
other than looking cool.
Exactly. Other than looking cool. So the Intellivision Facebook page posted this thing talking about the it was a link to this GameIndustry.biz article saying that 83% of the video games shown at E3 were violent in some way, which is not wrong. There was definitely a...
Yeah, that seems about right, if not low.
Yeah, there was an awful lot of violence going on at E3, and he had me until this, as I'm reading this, like, wow, that's a pretty high percentage, and that makes sense. He says, I'm not here to scold the game industry, but I would like to point out that while the majority of game developers, publishers, and hardware manufacturers seem to be focusing on adult content for the living room this year and next, and then all caps, we are not. So it's like, okay, you're not here to scold the industry.
But you
but
did.
The tone of the rest of this is saying, we're better than this. Because we're not doing that. Most of our games on the Amico are presented for everyone, even though none of our games are mature or even T-rated. We're building a system that parents across the world can trust 100% of the time. So, similar to the content my generation were playing growing up in the 70s and early 80s, imagine that, what a concept. Okay, that's scolding. That's pointing out, that's saying we're better than these other systems. That's what that's the tone that's saying. Even if that's not literally what they're trying to say, that's the tone that comes across. And then the part that followed it was even the great Nintendo didn't stack up this year. From the article, and this is quoting this article, only 7% of Nintendo's E3 Direct titles were nonviolent, and only one of those was first party, Animal Crossing New Horizons. So at that one, I was like, whoa, wait a second. They showed off Link's Awakening and Mario Maker. Those are violent? So I went into this article, and this article is this mindset, but to a cranked up to a billion degrees. It's like, I'm not trying to decry any of this stuff, but, and then they scored every single one of these, publishers that had some sort of showing at E3 with passes and fails. So if you're saying that something is failing, but you're not saying that you're not scolding or trying to judge anyone, you're just calling them failures because they didn't have nonviolent content. And they're saying like anything that depicts violence against
any
a living being.
Yeah.
So Link swinging his sword at an Octorok counts as violence. And
which
so
I sure it does. But
that game's going to get rated E for everyone, so...
But you can't, like... And that's the fucking thing. You can't... Oh, man. I'm not going to, like... especially because, like, so much of this kind of shit is, like, what I'm studying right now in my psychology courses and whatnot. But, like, you cannot view these sorts of things in a vacuum. That is dangerous thinking to view any sort of act as like that's just not operating from a place of reality.
No, it's not. And I can get the idea. If the idea of this post was saying, boy, there's a lot of violent content, and we even talked about this, like the entire Ubisoft presentation was like, wow, military shooter, military shooter, military shooter,
sure.
And another. Like, there's a lot of extremely graphic violence coming up, and I think it's one of the reasons I gravitate more towards the Switch right now, because I'm playing a lot of indie games that look, they just have a very different feel. Most of Nintendo's content, it does not aim for that. But at the same time, one of my most anticipated games of the year is Doom Eternal. I cannot put into words how excited I am to play that damn game.
Right,
so,
because there's a certain stress relief, just like at its most primal level, like and to like that's the other thing too, like to ignore the fact that shit is fun,
mm-hmm.
is part of the problem.
It is, and as one of the commenters on this article pointed out, that Animal Crossing would have also failed this because it involves fishing and then eating said fish. That's violence towards fish, an animal, a living creature. So,
and that's absurd.
And if you really think about it, the games that he's talking about for in television or the games that we played as kids in the 70s and 80s, well, you kill a dragon in Adventure for Atari 2600. You kill a dragon and then its corpse sits there. So that's violence. So Adventure would have failed this test as well.
It's just absurd. And it's not, that's the kind of shit where if that's your position, nobody should listen to you because you're obviously an idiot.
I couldn't agree more. So I commented on this, and my comment said, I'm really rooting for the Amico to do well, but, and I posted an image, because the first thing that popped into my head, well, what's the game we know about for Intellivision Amico? There's only one, and it's Earthworm Jim. And there's a picture, they released official key art from Earthworm Jim for the Amico, where Princess What's-Her-Name and Earthworm Jim are both holding guns.
Yep.
So I said, but there are two guns in this image. Earthworm Jim would absolutely not count as nonviolent by those standards. Is it really your position that Link's Awakening and Mario Maker 2 are more violent than Earthworm Jim? I see the point you're trying to make, but this is a real bad take. Intellivision replied, comedy violence, Bugs Bunny, etc. is considered E for everyone or E10+. I didn't say anything about the rating system.
Right. That does happen to be a fact, but is missing the forest for the trees.
It is. So I then responded that I understand, but you said, even the great Nintendo didn't stack up, and referred to the article which said that the only game Nintendo showcased that wasn't violent was Animal Crossing, which isn't true. Link's Awakening is by no means more violent than any Earthworm Jim game, and if you're going by this article's curve, Jim's cartoon violence would fail too. Again, I like what you're doing with the Amico, and I want to see it succeed, but linking to this particular article does your cause a disservice because it makes it look like even what you're doing doesn't live up to the author's standards. Which is all I'm trying to say. I think the Intellivision Amico is a neat idea, and I want it to succeed, but when you associate yourself with this kind of schlock, it's doing the whole thing a disservice. So where this became kind of fun for me was that Tommy Tallarico personally responded to me. Not from the television thing. Tommy replied, Chris Randazzo, even the original Earthworm Jim was rated E for everyone. That being said, don't assume that the new one is going to be the same gameplay mechanics as the original, smiley face.
The key art that has them having guns, which is a key point of Earthworm Jim, is running. It's a run and gun action platformer. That's not what you're making, then that shouldn't be in your key art. That's false advertising.
Yeah, or are they going to have guns and only shooting robots this time? Because they're pretty sure the first thing you shoot in the original Earthworm Jim is either birds or a rabid dog.
Sure.
So, but interesting that there's a little tidbit about the new Earthworm Jim. It seems to be having different gameplay mechanics, so that's an interesting thought, and I am intrigued by that. But then he went on to say, even if that article was half correct, it's still a sad state of affairs looking forward to the next year or so of game industry and a different course that we are very proud to take. And yes, I was at the Nintendo booth and a majority of games shown were violent. That's cool. That's what he should have said.
Yeah, that's
what he just said right there. He thinks it's a sad state of affairs that so much of the content coming out for all the platforms is super violent. And that they're proud to take a different course. That's kind of a better take than what they said to begin with.
Well, and but you don't have to offer an alternative while also trashing the other people on the way down.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you can be like, hey, all that's cool over there, and if you're into that, that's cool, but if you're not into that, here's something else. And that's where that stops. It's the whole, like, it's this whole mentality that people seem to have, and I suppose they've always had it, because the if you don't like it, turn the channel thing is from like the fucking 60s. Uh-huh. But that's true. If you don't like it, don't watch it. If you don't like it, don't play it.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it. Just don't.
And in the position that Intellivision is in with this new console that they're releasing against, I mean, and even if there's, it's just like Nintendo saying that they're not competing against Xbox and PlayStation. Well, in a way they aren't, but in another way they are. Like, it's just, it's a factor that you have to take into consideration. And when that is their position, like he keeps referring to in a lot of these things, he refers back to the Wii, where like the last time that there was something that was marketed like this of just like fun for all, it was the Wii. And I pointed out that the Wii never said, we're doing this and those other guys aren't, so we're better.
Right.
The Wii just focused on, this is what we do. And that's what I responded to Tommy with, was that you should, in my completely unsolicited opinion, what you should be focusing on is more about what Amico does and less about what Nintendo don't. Because that's over. That, you know, Genesis does what Nintendo don't. That mentality of our system's better because blah, 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 that's kind of done. Right?
I mean, and please do not try to start another console war when you're fucking in television.
Yeah, it's not going to go like, well.
It's just not. Look, if we're being honest, you and I both want to see this thing succeed. We want to see the Atari VCS succeed. I will be fucking shocked if this thing even comes out. I am not convinced. Because this is not the first console that has gotten this far along that has not come out. And
you're
if it
wrong.
Does come out, it'll be on clearance in a month or two, which would also not be like, this is a hard space to enter. And if you're going to come in like a dick right away, like that's just not going to go well for you. Cause there's a reason that like Ubisoft is making a lot of military shooters. It's because they make a lot of money. Cause that's
yeah.
what people want to play. And it doesn't matter if like 17 people think that we should be playing something else. It's just people vote with their wallets, man.
Yeah, Fortnite's the most popular thing on Earth right now for a reason. Like
stupid
people
dances.
Like, yeah,
I don't get it.
Stupid dances and shooting shit. Like,
but that's what people like, man. And good for them. You know what I mean?
As long as it's not harmful to anyone, then sure, good for them. But the other big piece of this that I find fascinating is that like a week ago or something, or somewhere during E3 or right before, they showed off the new logo for the Amico, which I think is absolutely terrible. It makes it look like a Fisher-Price toy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's got like the M as a heart and stuff like that. It is, it's kind of goofy and not at all sleek or Switch. This is one of the Switch is hitting where the Wii didn't. Because you look at you hear the word Wii and the adorable Wii logo that bows and whatnot, that didn't click with anybody who's like, I want this cool new piece of tech.
Yeah.
Cool, family-friendly games be damned, like, you're selling electronics, right?
Yeah.
And the idea is that if this kind of rhetoric is saying that you're positioning yourself as a viable family-friendly alternative to AAA games, then you need to look the part. But right now you look like Fisher-Price toy. Right now you look like your competition is a VTech. And that's not
that's
the market
exactly
they seem to be going
like.
For. Yeah, and that's
not... It does
not,
look like a VTech.
That's not okay, because that's...
No.
The VTech isn't going against the Nintendo Switch or anything.
No.
That's an educational toy. But according to what Tallarico is saying, this system is supposed to be a game system, like the Wii, but better. And a take like this, I think, is just damaging. I thought it was very cool. Yeah, I really, really appreciate it. I even mentioned in my comment that I really appreciated Tommy taking the time to respond. He engaged with me in this, even though I didn't necessarily feel like he got what I was saying. And this is kind of a problem that I have with Tommy in general. When we talked about the Amico unveiling in the first place, I kept saying that he seemed to be answering questions that no one was asking.
Yeah, well,
it's the kind of thing that he does, and
you're pushing a narrative, and that's okay. Like that's completely your prerogative as a businessman and the face of a company. But I mean, who the fuck are we? But who the fuck is Tommy Tallarico? Who cares? I mean, honestly, like, and I don't like I, that sounds way more disparaging than I actually do mean it to be, because he's done way more in the video game industry than either you or I have. But who the fuck is Tommy Tallarico? Why do I care what he says?
I don't know. But I do find it all very interesting. And that that was a good conversation and I'm glad we had it. I think that was a shitty take. I think posting that was a bad idea. And what I found interesting was that earlier today, he posted again on the Intellivision page something that was much more in line with literally what I suggested in my post about a lot of people were asking them to change their whole rating system thing to include teen rated games. And this one, I think, was far more well worded. He wrote, "When people ask me to think about going up to teen rating for games on Amico, I believe it's because they may not understand the difference between E10 plus and teen. Typically, over the years, over 80% of all video games are rated E to E10 plus. The definition of teen includes minimal blood and strong language, not something we're really interested in promoting on our system. So people shouldn't think that E or E10 plus is going to constitute just kiddie preschool games. E and E10 isn't as bad as people think. Even the original Earthworm Jim 1 and 2 games were rated E for everyone." This next part I don't know that I feel is very easy to prove wrong. "Every legitimate home console game that we played growing up in the 70s and early 80s would be considered E or E10 plus, and they were just fine." Regardless of the validity of that last statement, that whole thing is so much better of a take than what he posted before, because that's not saying Microsoft and Sony, they're full of shit because they're making all violent games and we're not doing that. That is simply pointing out something that they believe is what their system does right, not pointing out what they think other systems do wrong.
Yeah, like the best way to go about that from the beginning was, we want to make games like they used to be. We want to make The Legend of Zelda. We want to make Mega Man. We want to make Metroid. We want to make fucking Alex Kidd, Shinobi. You know, well, Shinobi would probably be teen.
Yeah.
But whatever. You know what I mean? We want to make these games that all would have been rated E10. We want to prove that you don't need to have an M rating to have a great game. You say that? Fine. Mm-hmm. But to come out and be like, even the great Nintendo. It's like, well, I'm done listening to you.
Because
if you're going to come out here and be like, Nintendo, the most family-friendly, I would argue, of the current three most popular systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not to say that Microsoft and Sony do not have family-friendly games. They absolutely do. But, you know, when you think more family-friendly, I would argue that more people are going to think of Nintendo. I can't play Yoshi's Crafted World on my Xbox One X 7 Q4 or my PS4. You know, like, that's where your take should be. Because if you could have come out swinging, I mean, again, Godspeed. But you could have go down hard.
Yeah.
Just real bad. Because there's, like, and not to put too fine a point on it, but there's a reason the Intellivision failed in the first place. It's a damaged brand that kids...
Nobody even knows about it. Like,
no,
it's niche
cares.
At best.
No one cares.
And Godspeed for trying to bring the brand back.
Sure.
But if you're building it on that, you're going to put this in Target and people are going to look at it and be like, oh, wow, the new Intellivision console is here.
No.
That's, you don't have Mattel's branding behind you. You're no. Tommy Tallarico who brought this brand. That's what you have behind you.
That's what you got to consider. Like, if you... Mr. Tallarico, could afford the Intellivision name, it's probably not worth all that much. Because I'm sure you've been very successful, sir, but not that successful. You didn't buy Nintendo. You didn't buy Konami. You know what I mean? You bought Intellivision, a brand that was dead. We could get a Kickstarter together to buy a fucking old video game license, Chris. I'm sure we could.
That Stone Age Gamer has done this kind of stuff in the past.
Stone Age Gamer bought Wisdom Tree shit.
Like, or at least licensed it for a while. Like, yeah, it's
not all that hard. So, like, I just...
Yeah, I don't like the idea of it throwing stones, especially when the whole idea behind it is inclusion. So...
Yeah, that's... Swing and a miss, guys. Swing and a miss.
So
good luck.
Yes. to pivot to my last thing before we get to the break at 10 o'clock at night. Another really interesting piece of video game retro gaming news came out yesterday. Our friends at Terra Onion officially announced the Mega SD,
right?
Which is a Sega Genesis / Mega Drive flash cart that plays Sega CD ISOs as well,
which is awesome.
Super awesome. They went into the whole detail in this video. They announced a couple things in the video, including that the Neo SD is getting the pro version of it is going to play Neo CD games, which is super awesome. And they included a bunch of stuff on upgrades to their TurboGrafx, was SD Super System 3 or whatever. It's got a weird name that I can never remember what it is. It's combination of those words. But they showed off the Mega SD. And in the video, they took it out and they put it into a Nomad and turned it on, and the Sega CD startup screen was there. And I was like, oh man, that's really cool. That is really cool.
You should have said dope. You should have gone for it.
You
might have been able to get away with it. At that moment, you could have been like, oh, it's fucking dope. And it might have sounded natural.
Was it worth the risk, Dan? So yeah, they went through a whole blowout video showing it off, and Stone Age Gamer is going to be carrying it sometime in the future. The first round is being sold right on Terra Onion site, but then we're going to get some to sell on our site, just like we did with the Neo SD. We're going to be offering a trade-in program for other Mega Drive or Genesis flash carts toward the purchase of a Mega SD. There's no actual date for when we're going to sell it yet, but ours is going to have a custom bitbox case case.
Super cool.
Pretty sure it's a bitbox case, but it's going to be a custom case because the Terra Onion one comes in a very nice looking box. But for my brainness, if you got something Sega Genesis, it's got to come in a clamshell.
Yeah, like 100%.
That's the nature of that beef. Of all consoles, it's got to come in a clamshell. So
yeah, 100%.
It is a super, super exciting product. The ability to play Sega CD games without having a Sega CD attached to your Genesis is really cool.
That's killer. And Stone Age Gamer offering the trade-in program is such a cool thing for a retailer to do.
It is.
Because they really don't have to.
They don't. And it was very cool that it seemed to work out very well for the SD2 SNES. They did the same thing. I'm over the moon for this thing. I'm super stoked.
Yeah, this is cool.
So
very, very cool.
This was a really awesome announcement, and I'm very excited to get that product in my hands because we knew about it for a little bit because we work for Stone Age Gamer, so we knew about this thing for a little bit. We weren't allowed to talk about it until Terra Onion officially announced it. So I've kind of been holding off on because I've talked about flashcarding my game system. So I was like, I think I'm going to wait and see what this thing is all about. I want to see how this materializes before I really consider jumping in on flashing my Genesis.
Right.
So we did the post about it on our Facebook page, and we had a very, very confusingly uninformed gentleman chime in on our Facebook page. And normally I wouldn't call something like this out, except for that he was as rude as he is uninformed. So I thought
not a good combination.
It's not a good combo. So this gentleman by the name of Andrew Sadak, this is all on our Facebook page, it's all public, jumped on and said, is this better or worse than an EverDrive? It does the same thing as the current revision of the EverDrive, but without the Master System and Game Gear support. So how does the emulation differ from the current EverDrive? So conversation started like, okay, well, first off, it plays Sega CD ISOs, which without a Sega CD, which is not something that the EverDrive does.
Right.
It also does have Master System support and Game Gear support. Well, that's kind of an interesting conversation in and of itself, which I don't even understand all the details of. So I kind of stayed out of the Game Gear portion of it. But apparently, you can't natively run Game Gear on a Genesis without some sort of modification because the Game Gear apparently has an absurd number of color outputs. Like
it's a very weird architecture to the outputting. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like I always thought a Game Gear was just a portable Master System, but it's kind of not. Like it's weirder than that. So people start chiming in with that, And Mr. Sadak,
who clearly know what they're talking about.
Or just have a general basic understanding of what's going on. So people are saying, like, yeah, but it plays these Sega CD games. And he's like, yeah, I know that, but the latest revision of the EverDrive does that too. And they're like, but what are you talking about? That's not true. Like, do you have a link to this EverDrive that plays CD and Game Gear games?
Right. Do you have the link to the product that we sell that does not do the thing you are claiming that it does?
So he starts getting super snotty and saying, you know, the CD BIOS is built into every Sega CD system. The only reason why it's needed on the EverDrive is because the EverDrive runs ISO files, bin and queue, to play the Sega CD games instead of the disc itself. Read before you speak next time.
Oh, that's such a shitty way to be.
Right? So I jumped in on my personal account. I didn't want to jump into Stone Age Gamer and say anything that I wasn't 100% educated on. But just looking at this, like, okay, I just want to get this straight because I know you're wrong, but I want to make sure. I always allow for the possibility that somebody knows something I don't, because that's almost always the case.
Of course it is.
I always assume that there is a possibility that I am wrong. So I asked, just to be clear, he's saying, just clear the up. You're saying a Mega Drive, Mega EverDrive X7 can play Sega CD games without the use of a Sega CD unit, as in I can plug one into my Sega Nomad and play Sonic CD. Is this something you've done yourself? Because this is the first time I've ever heard of it being able to do that, and I can't find a shred of information about the EverDrive playing CD games anywhere on the internet.
And you might think that's something we might advertise.
Or you might think that Crixie would have jumped on Twitter the moment the Mega SD was announced, being like, yo, the latest revision of my EverDrive already does that. Sorry, suckers.
Yep.
But that did not happen. So
buy my shit that's already out.
Andrew replied, I have not done it myself, but the developer assures it on the product page, just read it, and then immediately blocked me.
Nice.
So he made a snotty argument and then refused to allow me to converse further with him.
Now, you're probably not missing too much of a stimulating conversation.
Probably not, but I was having a lot of fun watching. And then he started, then his response to pretty much everyone who was jumping in is, no, read the product page. So Stone Age Gamer, Ryan, jumped in to kind of debunk this and be like, look, the X7 does not play Sega CD ISOs. It can act as a CD backup RAM cart, but that's all it does. And we figured that was the end of it because, all right, well, Stone Age Gamer got involved and put the hammer down. They're the ones who sell the product.
Right.
We know what we're talking about. But no.
Ryan's pretty knowledgeable.
Andrew
Ryan?
Was not done. No.
Oh,
he says,
Andrew.
The EverDrive X7 reads the BIOS file and emulates the hardware. Read the product page.
Dude.
Oh. Like, okay.
What? It's okay.
Fascinated.
Like, it's okay to be like, oh, shit, man, I was wrong.
Right? That's it's okay. Cool. It really is okay. So I'm having an enjoyable conversation with Ryan on our Discord feed behind the scenes about this. And then he responds, I have read the page you linked. How about this? Show us where on the page it says that, the exact text. And
Ryan is not to be fucked with.
He's really not.
He says,
in the photo at the end of the page where it lists the features. So Ryan and I go and look at the product page again because we're both poring over this page trying to figure out what this guy is talking about.
Right.
And we don't see anything like this. This is what feature on the list? This is right. It says Stone Age Gamer. It's right there, plain as day. CD BIOS loading. To which this thing got three laughing remarks from other people who have been following this, because clearly this guy thinks that loading CD BIOS is the same thing as playing Sega CD games. So Ryan very tastefully replied that loading a CD BIOS is different from playing Sega CD games. It's useful if you want to play a different version of a Sega CD game, but you still have to have a Sega CD hooked up and the disc inserted to make it do that.
Right.
This is where we thought it was going to end, because
again, This is the guy who sells. He probably knows more than somebody on the internet.
We were now in fact territory, right? This is now. You can't really argue this. So a couple people chimed in with some facts, memes, Chris. Alternative facts. Some memes kind of poking fun at the guy, like, oops, sorry, you screwed up. And then this afternoon, Andrew decided to jump back into the conversation and says, that's not how modding works, and you cannot mod using an EverDrive.
Wow.
No one said anything about mods.
Like what?
What in the world is he talking about? So Ryan replied, now you're just trolling. I didn't say anything about modding. Just admit you were wrong and move on.
Yeah, like, it's good, man. You're going to be happier.
Except it's not, because right after that he said, and this is, at least I understand where the miscommunication was, Stone Age Gamer, you literally said that the EverDrive could be used to replace the Sega CD BIOS. That's modding, and that's not how modding works.
It's not...
Oh my god, we're not talking about physically replacing a component with an EverDrive. What? We're talking about the thing itself replicates it, so you don't have to have the... Wow.
I mean,
just astonishing. So, just to say out loud, the Mega EverDrive X7 does not play Sega CD games, kind of the only reason we engaged in this was because we didn't want something up there making people think that it does. Why would we?
Like,
we
that's
don't
not,
want misinformation.
No, because it's not true.
It is. It's flat out not true. But then he blocked us, so we couldn't comment on his comments anymore.
So he's blocked now, right? Like, that's...
I mean, it's still up on the social media page, because this is just such a fascinating conversation of just bullheaded, no, I'm right and you're wrong. But he's not even arguing the point anymore about whether or not I play Sega CD games. He's trying to find something else. Now we're talking about modding.
What's awesome is that he is also probably recording a podcast right now, being like, these fucking assholes over to Stone Age Gamer don't know shit about shit. They don't fucking understand how modding works.
So they're like, I'm first to admit that I don't know a lot of shit about this, but this whole thing...
You're not a computer programmer.
I'm really not. And I'm trying to learn this stuff because, you know, I work for the site and I want to learn more about this stuff so that I can be more useful as somebody who's involved in these products. But this whole conversation just blew my mind. But it was also very informative. So as a general thank you to Andrew, not for being rude about this, like, if you have these thoughts, by all means, jump in there and say, I think you're wrong and here is why. But
right.
Just showing up and being I know what I'm talking about and being a dick to everybody about it, that's not a good call. But I did learn a little bit about this whole, like, the difference between, like, what is a BIOS? What are ISOs? What's the difference between an ISO and a ROM? Like, I'm still learning the math behind all that stuff. So
right.
I found the whole thing fascinating, and I think the Mega SD is going to be a totally awesome product.
I do, too. I think it's going to be really, really great. And it does something that nothing else does.
Which is awesome. All right.
Nothing else does it.
Let's pivot. That was fun. I had my fun. I had my chuckles. But we still have the 10, 20, 30 to get through, and it's 10, 18. So we need to do this stat. Which is fine, because there's actually not a whole lot of super amazing stuff to talk about. So you're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. So please stick around. Are you enjoying the podcast you're listening to right now? Of course you are. But did you know that it's just one part of an entire network of geek-related goodness? Geekade.com is your one-stop shop for fresh original content no matter what your geek is. Each week you'll find articles and podcasts about comic books, horror movies, X-Men, music, video games, music in video games, Transformers, anime, TV shows, tabletop gaming, wrestling, beer, and more. And hey, if you want to help us create even more original content, please consider supporting us on Patreon. That's available at patreon.com/geekade. What's your geek?
Hey guys, Vestlord Dean DeFalco here to tell you that we have a Twitch. Yeah, Geekade has a Twitch, and we are streaming at least once a week, every Thursday. We are on from 6 to 11. That's five solid hours of me failing at whatever game is going on that week. You want to see me cry? Twitch.tv/Geekade. You want to see me achieve a massive victory? Twitch.tv/Geekade. You want to see me eat food, mukbang, right there? Twitch.tv/Geekade. Guys, check it out. It's a lot of fun. We got emoticons. We got sub badges. We got all sorts of stuff going on over there. And if you just want to pop in, say hi, give us a follow. You know, we really do appreciate it. Trying to spread the love, trying to spread Vestlord Global to a house near you, maybe even your house. So, guys, pop in, say hello, and we'll catch you next time on twitch.tv/Geekade. See you then, guys. Stay Vestly. Keep playing games.
Geekade is looking for some partners. If you have something you'd like to advertise on any of our podcasts, our powerful overlords are ready to talk to you. Send your proposal to mail@geekade.com with the words podcast ads in the subject line, and our diligent army of trained ants will put you in touch with the head of our advertising department. With a weekly audience that reaches well into the dozens, Geekade is the perfect place to get your ads into the ears of the right people. Once again, that's mail@geekade.com. Send your ad in today.
We're ready to be back. Hi, and we're back. We are here, and it's late, so let's talk about the 10, 20, 30.
Let's talk about Dr. Mario World. I'm downloading it now.
No, you're not. It doesn't come out until July.
Oh, well, fuck. I'm pre-ordering it now. I am. It's a match 3 puzzle versus viruses.
I'm all for it. Look, I think it looks pretty darn cool. It looks weird. It's not what I expected. I expected it to be Dr. Mario on the go, but it's kind of a different flavor of Dr. Mario. And it involves a Dr. Bowser. There's Bowser in a doctor outfit, and he looks delightful.
I have pre-ordered. I double-clicked and showed my phone my face, and I will now have this eventually.
Good. I will, too. I'll play this before I play back.
There's an update for Furista's Cat Cafe, so I'm very excited about that, Chris.
Who wouldn't be? All right, so let's jump back into the Wayback Machine. Let's go to 2009. 10 years ago, what was going on in the world of video games?
Tell me, Chris, because I didn't open the link, because I'm fucking downloading Dr. Mario World.
I'm looking at the link right now, and I'm not seeing a ton of stuff that's super interesting. I mean, June 1st gave us Mighty Flip Champs for DSiWare.
Sure, I have no idea what that is.
I was a way forward game. You don't remember Mighty Flip Champs?
Nope.
It's a pretty neat game. I'm trying to think if this was the first way forward game I was familiar with as way forward. No, because I knew about Shantae before this, but I paid attention to this in the first place because it was way forward. And it's like this really clever 2D puzzle platformer. And it's eventually got ported to like everything, like PS3, PSP, DSiWare and the PlayStation stuff. Like that's pretty much it. But there's, you know, Mighty Flip Champs, Mighty Flip, whatever the hell. It was a whole series they built out of this. That was pretty neat. That was June 1st, so, all right.
It's a thing. I mean, Red Faction Guerrilla, that was super fun. But, I mean, we're not allowed to talk about games with violence in them anymore.
Right, they're bad for you.
We're going to have to skip past that and go to The Sims.
The Sims 3.
Which is completely non-violent.
Completely. Did this, really, was Sims 3? This was when that was, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was just not an expansion. This is a whole thing. But Sims 4 exists now, so... Right? And that's what everyone plays?
Yep.
I never got Sims. I never got it.
I think it is one of the most boring things. I think it's because I'm not a sadist. and I don't enjoy building walls around my Sims so that they can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't get a lot out of that either. I love Sim City. I played the crap out of Sim City.
Here's the fun part about how I record, because I say stuff out loud, and then in the other room I hear Tiff on the couch going, because she is a sadist and did enjoy that part of The Sims. That's who I married, Chris. I married somebody who builds walls around their little digital avatars so that they have to piss on themselves.
Well, you know, that's good to be well-rounded. You know, you don't love that. She does love that. It works.
Relationships are a partnership, and they all involve balance. There was a Tiger Woods game that also came out, and fuck it, I love golf games. I'm getting to that point in my life where I'm now thinking about golf more than I'm not, which is weird.
Well, that is weird. I mean,
have
I can appreciate.
Have you ever played any of the Tiger Woods games?
I can't say that I have.
I mean, they.
But
they
I do like golf games. I like.
They
the
are
old school
just
golf
fantastic,
games.
Just absolutely fantastic games.
I'm going to go ahead and take your word for that.
June 9th gave us what was supposed to be a big fucking deal, and it did get a sequel, but that was Prototype.
I thought you were going to say Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an Indiana Jones game, and it was okay.
Sure. Did you ever play Prototype? This dude had, like, a weird arm, right?
Yeah, right? He could, like, get all sloopity and make spiky things Venom style, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I don't remember
I did
liking
not play
it very
it.
Much.
I'm pretty sure I own it, though.
I'm sure
pretty sure it came out and I said, I should play this. This looks cool. But I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, there was a Johnny Bravo game in the Huck Omega Mighty Ultra Extreme Datarama, which doesn't sound fun. The Ghostbusters game came out on PS3, though. That was actually really fun.
That was a really fun game.
I really like that game. They had the voice cast back.
Yeah, that
which was great.
Like, that's getting a remaster, too.
Yeah, Bill Murray was back. Like, it was a well-made game. We played through that, like, in, God, 2-3 nights and just destroyed that game. But, like, it went deeper into the lore of Ghostbusters. And, like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of really cool shit in that universe.
Yeah.
That game was really, really great, and I am actually very excited for the remake of that.
Yeah, I might actually. That's one of those games I meant to play and didn't get around to it. And since this remaster is coming along, I might be interested in giving it a shot because I've never been the hugest Ghostbusters fan, but I do like Ghostbusters. So
it was a really good game. We also got Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, which was a really solid Transformers game.
We also got the Conduit for the Wii, which was fascinating.
What was that? I don't know that one.
This was, I think it was High Voltage Software was the company that put out this tech demo. It was like, check out what we made the Wii do. And everyone was looking at it like, holy crap, that's the Wii? I'm like, no. Yeah, if you put a little effort into it, you can make some pretty good-looking games on this platform. Just nobody does, because it's all shovelware.
Just why bother?
Yeah.
Because you can just keep making carnival games and people will buy them.
So Sega jumped in to publish this thing and was like, yeah, we believe in this, so let's make this game. And it was a pretty cool first-person shooter. I dug this game, and I played it through to conclusion. I did not finish The Conduit 2, but The Conduit 2 broke my heart because I think it was the end of Conduit 2 where things got just, like, completely bananas, where, like, I think you finish the game and then a time portal opened up and, like, Abe Lincoln walks out and be like, yo, we gotta kill some aliens. It was weird. So that was cool, but then we never got a sequel because nobody bought Conduit 2.
That sucks.
Yeah,
there is
suck.
An Abe Lincoln Funko Pop coming out, though.
I'm genuinely surprised there isn't one already.
I was at Hot Topic on Father's Day because I'm a 17-year-old. No, because the theater that I go to go see King of the Monsters, I was in the mall, and I had to go buy some Funko Pops, and I walked away with a Mr. Mixaplix. Which is awesome. I love that
I believe
guy.
It is pronounced Mixia's Pidlick.
Mixaplix, which is what I've always said and will continue to say.
There was a Superman cartoon, and Gilbert Gottfried was the voice of Mr. Mixia's Pidlick, and he very clearly stated, Mixia's Pidlick.
Mm-hmm.
Are you defying Gilbert Gottfried?
100%.
How
can
very
fucking
dare
fight
you?
Me.
Crackers! You ungrateful bastard!
But
look
I
up
also
the state,
got,
kids. It's a great show.
Such a great show. I then went. I got that at FYE, and then went into the Hot Topic.
Whoa! There's an FYE by you?
Yeah. They have a ton of Funko Pops there.
That's a thing, huh?
And amazing. I got Radioactive Man and Bartman, which makes me very happy. But they had a George Washington pop, that I almost bought because that is such a ridiculous thing. And I already have the Queen and Hillary Clinton. So, you know, George Washington.
Fits right in.
But the helpful cashier at Hot Topic said that at the end of this month, there is an Abe Lincoln pop coming out. And I will absolutely have that. And I hope there's like a lot of variations, like a shirtless Abe, like wrestling a bear and shit. Fucking into it.
I don't want him shirtless. I just want him sleeveless.
I hope there's an Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. That was a dope-ass movie, by the way. Anyway.
I will also have to take your word for it.
That was a really good movie.
The only thing we missed here of true note, I mean, like, you had Mega Man Star Force 3, which they were cranking those out as fast as they could.
That was the last one, wasn't it?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think that was the last, like, that was where it was like, all right, this is done.
I checked the hell out of Battle Network, Star Force. I checked all the way out of that.
Yep.
But the Fight Night Round 4 came out.
Not great.
Yeah. I think that was the last one of those, too, wasn't it?
It was. The early Fight Nights were so fun.
They were fun.
Good.
I played a little bit of those. Those were a good time.
They were so, so good and so different and like, here's this weird control scheme, but it works, and you got it, and they were so fun, and then it just became iterative of itself, which is never a good look.
Yeah, not every sports game needs to come out every year.
It doesn't, and, like, there's not a lot of new boxers, you know? Like, anyway, that's a whole separate podcast. We don't do sports podcasts, so.
No,
if you want
don't.
my thoughts on MMA and boxing, though. Be happy to discuss. Just email me.
What would you call it?
Backdrops and body slams?
Yeah, there you go.
Now, that would be about wrestling.
Yeah.
This would be. I'll come up with something. Give me.
I'm sure you will. All right, so let's travel 20 years ago to 1999. The wonderful year of 1999.
Tiff just said something like bloody knuckles and broken bones.
There you go.
Bloody knuckles and broken noses. I don't know, something like that.
Do you find a co-host. Do it. Get Nick on there.
Bare feet, boxing gloves. Done. There it is. MMA and fucking boxing. Bare feet and boxing gloves. Sold.
There you go.
Check that out at some point.
Mm-hmm. Sign
with
up
my
for
co-host,
it.
Joe Rogan. Me and Joe, we're tight.
So, June of 1999. let's see. I wrote down that Croc 2 came out for PlayStation.
Oh,
people like Croc.
I have so much to say about Croc, Chris.
You do? Because I don't. I've never played it.
No, I'm done. That was it.
Oh, well.
That's literally it. It's a horrible game. It was a horrible attempt at a mascot platformer.
Was it? Because it got a sequel, and I know people liked the original Croc.
It was a horrible attempt at a mascot platformer, Chris.
Would you say it's a Croc?
I wouldn't go so far as to call it a Croc, but perhaps a Croc-o-shit. Now, the first one was fine.
All I remember is like round floating platforms and Croc like hanging off the side. And thinking that Croc was kind of cute.
It was a cutesy 3D action platformer.
Like, struck me as entirely unremarkable though, like free of most personality.
Yeah, completely unremarkable. Isn't it EA too?
Is it? I don't know.
I feel like it's EA. I could be wrong on that, but like maybe Acclaim. I don't know. It was one of those studios where it was like, oh, so these are popular. Here's our version. And it was just like, all right. But like,
wow. Fox Interactive, THQ, Vivendi Games, and Media Quest were the.
I was way off, but like, you know. Was I though? Like THQ and Vivendi? That was the kind of shit they were churning out back then.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, like, it just looked. It struck me as. Legend of the Gobos. I think Dean really likes this game. So, Dean, I'm sorry.
Dean also likes Banjo and Kazooie. And he's wrong about that.
He's wrong that he likes them, or he's wrong to like them?
He's wrong to like them. Collectathons are not fun. Objectively, they are not fun.
There was this joke on. I was watching the Jimquisition. I get a kick out of Jim Sterling, where like he kept turning to like a producer in the back, like we're losing how many subscribers right now? That's what I feel like is happening right now.
What? Because I shit talked Banjo and Kazooie.
People love Banjo and Kazooie.
They're wrong. No, I mean fuck it. Like what you like, but you know,
there's a reason. I never cared for Banjo-Kazooie, but
look, but let's be honest. Like, if we take a look, video games are cyclical, right? Except for collectathons. Those don't come back. And when they do make an attempt at a comeback, people are like, why the fuck would we do this? Not interested in this. The only ones that have been successful are like the Crash Remastered and the Spyro Remastered. And even that, those games have a lot more to do than just the collectathon aspect. But like, people aren't beating down the doors for more ukulele. That's why they're going in a completely different direction with the new game. Because collectathons are objectively not fun.
Moving on.
Come see us
Dan
in too
feels
many games
very and, strongly about this.
Come see us in too many games and tell me how wrong I am. Because I might be wrong, but I don't think I am.
I mean, the collectathon nature of ukulele is not why I didn't enjoy the game.
Well, no, it was also a broken game, but, you know.
So Driver came out for the PlayStation.
Also, shit, don't try and make GTA if you're not going to do it.
Yeah, I didn't like this game much either. I know a lot of people
it's
did,
It's not
though.
Good.
I remember we did it. We were forced to do a midnight opening for Driv 3R, which we had exactly zero pre-orders for at my Game Crazy. So that's my memory of Driver, is Driv 3R, midnight launch for nothing.
It was like, because this was first-party Sony, right?
Oh, I don't think
like
so.
Like Sony
was
London? Wasn't it?
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
Or was that the other one?
I feel like Driver came out on other platforms.
Maybe? What the fuck am I thinking of, then?
The Getaway.
Yeah, all right, I was thinking of The Getaway. Also, shit.
This was GT Interactive.
Okay. Yeah. And
something else. Is that something? Reflections? I don't know. I see GT Interactive. Whatever, man.
Wasn't for me.
Yeah. Let's keep this going.
It did have a lot of fans, but not for me.
Mario Golf came out on N64. Speaking of fun golf games, this is a pretty fun golf game.
Hunk of shit.
What's that?
It's a hunk of shit.
You're crazy.
I'm kidding. Mario Golf is fun.
Good. Yeah, no, Mario Golf is great.
You know me. The only Mario games I really genuinely enjoy, apart from Super Mario Bros. 2, are the Mario sports games.
Yeah, Mario Golf. I mean, they were like, hey, Hot Shots Golf is great. Hey, guys, could you make us a Mario Golf game? And they were like, sure. And then they did.
And I don't think it's as good as Hot Shots Golf, but I think it's close.
It's pretty darn neat.
You know
what else is... I don't have a ton more to say about Mario Golf, but I find the next game on this list just so completely freaking fascinating. It's Pokemon Snap.
What a weird-ass game that people love!
People love this game! Like, violently love this game! Like,
it's not a game!
You get into this weird contraption. I remember when it came out, and it's like, oh man, they made a Pokemon game for this fucking Pokemon on my TV. I'm going to sit in this thing, and it's going to go on rails, and I'm going to take pictures of Pokemon in their natural habitat. It's going to be amazing.
And I played it,
and my store was like, what?
You don't do anything.
This is the game?
It's an activity. It's busy work.
It's a mini game at best, but it's like this whole thing, and people love it. There's a very loud contingent, like, yo, you gotta put Pokemon Snap on the Wii U. Pokemon Snap for the Switch. Make a new Pokemon Snap.
No, don't. It is the work that you get when your teacher is out.
But
it is what the sub gives you because the teacher is drunk and did not send in plans.
To their defense, though, like, how was there not a Pokemon Snap on the 3DS? They think it had a camera built in with, like, AR.
Does not make any sense that there was not.
I don't get the game, but I understand that there are a lot of people who do. Like, that was a license for money. Just make a really bullshit basic version of Pokemon Go that's Pokemon Snap. Like, you don't have to do the catching mechanic or anything. Just have people point their cameras around and their 3DSs around. They're carrying around with them anyway and take pictures of Pokemon. And they're weird. Pokemon Snap is such a weird thing.
I'm happy it exists, though, because it is so weird. But it is also proof that you can put the Pokemon name on literally anything, and people will lose their shit.
So strange.
It's... 'cause, like, what do you even say about it? It's not good. It's not like
I don't
all the
know
way,
if it's good. I can't even comment on it. I have played it. I know what it is. I cannot say if it's objectively good or bad because I was so confused by what it was.
The way they captured the feeling of the Charmanders in their natural habitat was just breathtaking. Like, it's... I mean, I guess if you're, like, drunk and you, like, try to, like, David Attenborough the shit out of it as you're going through, like, there's a lot of fun to be had there, but I don't think that was a large contingent of Pokemon Snap fans.
I don't think so either.
But
I don't think
now,
so, Tim.
I kind of hope that that is a Twitch channel of, like, somebody just doing a shitty David Attenborough impersonation as they play Pokemon Snap.
If it isn't, then it should be, and you should do it.
Okay, or Steve Irwin. Crikey! A Sandshrew. Oh, that's all I got. That's it. That's my Steve Irwin right there. Steve Irwin, well, kids, for those of you who don't know, was an asshole.
Was he? I always thought he was supposed to be some kind of nice guy.
No, he's a fucking prick. I mean, I enjoyed his show. But, like, when you are out studying animals, you're not supposed to fucking jump at them and yank them up out of places. Like, oh, he's a bit pissed off. Yeah, he is. You fucking grabbed him, and you're shaking him around like a dick. No one else does that, Steve. That's why the stingray killed you. Because you were being a shit.
Oh, good Lord. Pokemon Pinball also came out. Speaking of weird Pokemon spinoffs.
Tiff just said, we're certainly going to get blocked now. Fucking Legion of Steve Irwin fans are like, did you hear what those pricks on the Stone Age Gamers said? How very fucking dare they?
Now that's all you, man. I will admit to being woefully uneducated on Steve Irwin and have heard nothing but about him being anything other than a very pleasant man.
I'm sure, but come on.
Send your hate mail to Geek Hate Dan.
Steve Irwin is the type of guy that pats you on the back really hard when he gives you a handshake.
Glad you said shake.
What was I going to say?
What follows is approximately a minute and 30 seconds of the most inappropriate Steve Irwin humor I have ever heard. And for the sake of the show, I felt it necessary to remove it. For all of the Steve Irwin fans out there, never forget... We hold him in the highest of regards and miss him greatly.
Oh, none of that's making the show.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm only at 1 hour and 55. We're good. This is why people should have fucking Patreon subscriptions, because you get this kind of shit off air. Oh man, Conker's Pocket Tales came out, Chris.
Yes. Oh God. All right.
This
yes,
was
Conker's
like an
Pocket
actual
Tales.
Conker game.
Yeah, this was like,
not a filthy one.
This was what it was before it was the joke, right? Mm. They made this game, and they were working on the N64 version that was just like, hey, Conker's our new super adorable squirrel mascot. And then they're like, wouldn't it be funny if he was an asshole? And it was.
Wouldn't it be funny if we made him just like Steve Irwin? And they did! Oh, no, God, yeah, this game is awful.
Yeah, this game's just putrid, and I love
it's
me some rare, but
bad.
I own this game, and I've played some of it, and I stopped because it's not fun.
If we go back and look at it objectively, does Rare have more misses than hits? They have to at this point, right?
Probably.
But, like, I mean, when they hit big. But those are very few and far between. Right? Like, I feel like that's a crazy thing to say, but I feel like it's also correct.
It's possible.
Maybe we should do a show about that, like in July when we need filler.
Yeah.
Let's go through the Rare catalog.
I mean, I'm looking at it now, and it's got some pretty good stuff, but at the same time, I don't know, like, Star Fox Adventures is
It's not good.
It's good. Okay. I can't say that it's great. Yeah, okay counts as good.
No,
I mean,
it counts
I love
as okay. That's why
Donkey Kong Country
words.
Is amazing. Donkey Kong Country 2 is amazing. Donkey Kong Country 3 blows. Donkey Kong 64 is Banjo-Kazooie, but worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe.
All right, we're doing that
yeah,
in July.
That's going to be a fun conversation. Next, let's. That's it for 1999. What a great year. Let's travel back to 1989. We're now 30 years in the past. And The Adventures of Bayou Billy came out for the NES.
I feel like I always, in my mind, loved this game way more when I wasn't playing it. Like, oh, this is fucking dope. And then, like, I would play it and be like, no, it's really not.
I never understood this game for a minute. I think I rented it once and was like, wait, is it a light gun game?
Yeah, like, I don't think I ever got it.
Yeah, I didn't quite get it because I didn't play it long enough to. From what I've come to understand, it is a pretty neat little action-adventure game that has actual light gun segments in it. But I
Which
never really
cool.
got far enough into it. But it's a classic Konami game. How bad could it be?
I mean...
And, like, Bayou Billy, what a great name, huh?
It's cool. It always reminded me of, like, Billy Jack, which I assume is a reference that's lost on you. But Billy Jack was cool.
I will take your word for it. It's my theme for this evening, is taking your word for it.
That's right. I know a lot of shit, Chris.
You do. I just, according to you, you absolutely do know a lot of shit. And I can't prove you don't.
That's right. You can't. Now, Billy Jack is dope. It's a good couple of movies.
All right. California Games came out for the NES and Master System. I have little experience with these versions. I played the shit out of the Atari 2600 version. I adore that game.
Super fun.
I remember my favorite part of the 2600 game is the BMX. It is hilarious. It is super fun. It plays like a dream. And then I went to my friend Joey's house, and he was like, oh, I got California Games on the Nintendo. And I was like, oh my God, it's got to be amazing. And I went over there, and the biking was like ultra slow and not even vaguely fun. And I said, well, I'm going to stick with my Atari game. Thank you very much. And I don't think I've ever played the Master System version.
I remember having a lot of fun with it. It is such a product of the 80s, though.
God, yeah, it really
if you look
is.
Look at that box art. Just high-waisted bikinis and fucking terrible shorts.
Very, very Saved by the Bell.
Very Saved by the Bell. But not even like the good bits of Saved by the Bell.
It's really just the bottom half.
Like early Saved by the Bell. Before anybody cared.
Guerrilla War! Love this game.
Wait, I'm looking Guerrilla War up now. You talk about it, and I'm going to see if it jogs my memory.
It's like, you know, it's a top-down SNK shooter, like Contra style, but, you know, top-down. And it was freaking awesome for the NES. My sister and I rented this over and over again, and we just beat it over and over again. I'm pretty sure you can, like, get into a little mini tank and, like, just roll around blowing shit up. This game rules, man. Guerrilla War is awesome.
I did love this game.
Yeah,
I love this and like Commando and POW,
oh, Commando,
like all
man,
of
guys.
These.
POW was so good.
Yeah, no, this was dope. The little tank thing was super funny too, because like if I'm remembering correctly, like it was just your torso sticking out of this tiny little.
Yeah,
tank.
It was this weird little tanky thing. Now I know this has to be because it's an SNK game, so I'm sure there's like an arcade version of it somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I never really did the research on it. I just know I know the NES version. And I played the crap out of it, and I haven't played it in years. I should really boot this game up one of these days.
That is also a genre that has not had a lot of modern popularity.
The top-down shooters?
The top-down shooter. Like, we've gone to, like, twin-stick shooters, which I don't think are as fun.
They're kind of a different animal.
They can be fun, like, when they're done really well, but when they're done poorly, they're fucking awful.
Yeah.
But, like, these style of games were so, so good. Like, there's a Sega Master System one called the Ninja that's really fucking awesome, too. It's a top-down ninja shooter.
Hmm. Neat.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Fuck yeah, Guerrilla War.
Yeah, this was, like, really, this is kind of unusual. Usually we have, like, a ton of great games in the other categories, and we kind of hit a bunch of stragglers in 1989, but no, man, this is a pretty good list, because next up was Mega Man 2 came out for the NES.
Which is objectively the best Mega Man game.
Just hard disagree.
I mean, you're so wrong. It's all right.
I'll take your word for it.
You really should. You and Tommy Tallarico.
No, I will not take your word for it. I think Mega Man 3 is the better game.
I know you do, but God, this is such a
good game.
Mega Man
2 is an objective masterpiece. That game rules.
I mean, there's nothing bad about it. You may prefer one version, like Mega Man 2 and 3, because that's really the argument, right?
Nobody's
like, Mega Man 8, fuck you. Like, that's not a thing that happens. It's
I prefer the less slippery Mega Man controls, but I will not say that the controls of Mega Man 2 are bad, because they're not. It's my preference that I like him to be able to stop faster, which is what he does in Mega Man 3. I also like the slide and rush and Proto Man and the music and the stage design and the dock robots and how speedy everything is. But you know what?
There is a lot of really good stuff.
Those things aren't bad in Mega Man 2.
No.
It's things that I like better in Mega Man 3,
sure.
But they're not bad in 2. The game is brilliant beginning, middle, and end.
It's a fucking masterpiece. But we have recorded an entire podcast.
Yes.
Dedicated to Mega Man.
We have. And I tell you what's not a masterpiece, but also is Monster Party.
Monster Party is a game that exists.
It is such a strange thing. I know there's like a JonTron video out there that's very funny. Are we allowed to say JonTron's funny anymore? I don't remember.
I don't know. But did he do something?
He did a bunch of stuff, I think. He said some things that were not good, and then the internet was like, "You suck now." And I don't
this
know if it was
I
true
go on the internet.
Because I did not look into it at all. But I remember him there being a very funny JonTron video. But I remember I was working at Game Crazy in Brooklyn, and my roommate Keely was asking if it was like around Halloween, and she said, "You know what? I haven't played Monster Party in forever." And I was like, "I've never played Monster Party, and holy shit, I don't own that game. So let me see if I have a copy at my store." And sure as shit, I did. And she said, "You need to buy that and bring it home, because I guarantee it's not what you think it is." I was like, "I don't know. It looks like a game about like a bunch of, you know, universal monster characters getting up to mischief and hijinks." She's
like, "Yeah,
no, you can think that all you want. This game's going to melt your head." And she was not wrong.
No, this game's nuts.
Game is complete. Like, there's just legs just dancing with their butts and walking around. You turn into a dragon, and the giant plant says, "Hello, baby." And
it's absurd.
Wow. This game is so weird. If you
it's
do
so
not
good,
yeah,
but so bad.
It's not great, but it's weird enough to be worth at least looking into. Because if you don't know Monster Party, YouTube that shit immediately. Stop this podcast and go look up Monster Party, and just be prepared, because it is.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. You're 2 hours in. You're probably ready for something else.
Right. All right, we only got 3 more games to talk about. First is our unofficial mascot game, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
One day, Chris, one day.
Yeah.
We will complete that game.
We spent a lot of time playing this on the Pedathon,
really,
and we did not get really far.
We really didn't. We didn't even get halfway.
It was sad. It was
pathetic. And
it was a poor showing.
Worse.
Yes. I have beaten this game as a child. I have finished this game as a child. I know I have done it. I remember it. I could not beat this game during the Pedathon.
Could not do it. You, me, or Matt.
This game is brutally broken.
It is. That's the thing. It's not us being bad at video games. It is a broken game.
It's not great.
It's not great. You designed a game around weapons that have vastly different capabilities, but didn't alter the stages at all. Like, it's not like Raphael is better in one stage than another, right? Like, because he sucks all the time.
He's
he always
fast,
sucks.
Though.
But he always sucks. It doesn't matter. he dies quicker. You just get to shit that kills you quicker. That's all. Fucking awful. It's a bad game.
And
like,
I love it.
Bad game. I love it to pieces.
But it is, you're right, it is a bad game.
It's not good.
What's not good is Track and Field 2.
Track and Field 2 is dope as shit.
I love Track and Field 2. I didn't play much of Track and Field 1. Which I know is like, that's the more popular one because that was the big arcade hit and whatnot. Right. I just totally missed out on that. My sister and I rented Track and Field 2 from our local video store over and over and over and over again because it's full of all these crazy events. The graphics were nuts at the time.
They were
so realistic. Like the guy running for the pole vault and stuff is like,
oh, it was dope.
Wow. Really impressive. And like, even though we never really got the hang of some of the events, like the fencing was really fun. The arm wrestling was like ridiculous. That's not an Olympic thing, right? Arm wrestling.
It used to be.
Did it?
Huh. Yeah.
Go figure.
I mean, I'm going to say that without having any factual basis to back that up, but I'm almost sure that I remember that.
I'm going to take your word for it.
You should.
I should. No, Track and Field 2 is great, and I miss good Olympic games, which is why I'm half considering buying Mario and Sonic for Switch this year.
I would love to buy a new Olympics game that does not have Mario and Sonic in it. Like, I don't want those characters there.
I want
just an Olympic game. It's fine.
I find Dr. Robotnik competing in athletic events to be endlessly hysterical.
It's funny.
It's funny, but I want something like Track and Field 2 that's like, takes it seriously, but is not a waggle fest. Like,
right.
There's a difference between button mashing and waggle fest. And Track and Field was the ultimate button masher. It's like, okay, we're going to make a game out of button mashing. How fast can you mash these buttons? Whoever mashes them fastest wins. That's awesome. But like when they became waggle fests and stuff for like Kinect, it was just like,
no, not fun.
Boo.
Not fun. But like, I still have a deep, deep seated love of the Olympics. It is one of my very most favorite things. And like when the Olympics is on, that is the only thing that goes on my television all fucking day.
Right. And you can tune in anytime. Like, oh, what's going on? They're doing the floor comp that, yep, someone's twirling a ribbon. And it's Olympic ribbons. And I don't care. It's awesome. Love the Olympics.
Give it all to me. And it's because of this game. This is what made me interested in that shit. Because I was like, wow, this is so weird.
You know, it was Epic's Winter Games for me. That was what got me into it.
Love it.
Winter Games for my Macintosh was like, whoa, the Olympics are really cool.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. I've watched almost every World Cup soccer match. I mean, I do love the Women's World Cup more than the men's because the United States men's team is garbage and the United States women's team are fucking baller-ass girls. Like, it's ridiculous. But, like, I love those international competitions. It's because of this fucking game. Like, how ridiculous is that? 9-year-old me was like, yes, Olympics forever.
Well, it's not as ridiculous as the last game we're going to talk about, which is Psycho Fox for the Sega Master System.
What a weird-ass game Psycho Fox is.
Really weird-ass game. I didn't really know this was a thing until I heard Banjo-Kazooie's cover of the tune. I was like, wow, that's a neat game. And then, like, I was playing it. My wife was like, is that Psycho Fox? And I'm like, you know Psycho Fox? Because my wife had a Master System as a kid. That's because, right, according to my friend John Wentz, her parents were communists. So...
I mean, they very well might have been.
It's like, possible. I don't know. But yes.
I had a Master System, and my parents were terrible people. So, you know.
So I recently played Psycho Fox, and it's a cool game, but it's so weird.
It's so weird.
It is a weird platformer that someone needs to remake. That game is,
I would
is
agree with that,
rife with great ideas, and it plays all right. But if somebody could just tighten it up and make it super pretty, that game would be awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of really weird elements to it. It's just a bananas-ass game. And, like, that was kind of what I dug about Sega back in the day, was that they were just making shit. They were just like, what, here you go. Here's the thing.
This is related to other games. Let's see, who made this one? Sega published it. This was Vic Tokai. And I know this is related to some other games. I feel like it's like somehow related to, it's not Dynamite Headies, Decap Attack, that's it.
It's probably related to Adventure Island in some way.
Yeah, right? It's probably somehow an Adventure Island or Monster Boy game. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know Kid Kool was the equivalent to Psycho Fox. I need to look into that. For NES, but Decap Attack was the spiritual successor to Psycho Fox. Kid Kool for NES.
I remember this game.
Not a great
game. Not as good as Psycho Fox.
Oh, I don't think I ever actually played this one. Is it just the equivalent, but is it like, does it have the same music? There's no way. There's no way. Riveting podcasting right here.
This is why we have an editor.
Doop doo.
I mean, it was just like, it was one of those games where, like, everybody was talking about the new Nintendo game, and you were like, yeah, but Psycho Fox. And people were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Get the hell out of here with this Psycho Fox bullshit. Talking about Metroid. I'm like, all right. I see your point.
Yeah, this isn't the same music. That would have been amazing, though, because, like, I love the music in Psycho Fox. It's got a really, really kick-ass soundtrack, and that's not something you can say about a lot of Master System games, but the composition transcends the screechy nature of the Master System to making the music genuinely good to listen to. Psycho Fox is great.
It's a weird-ass game. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's so slippery. It's really hard.
Yeah, like, you lower your expectations if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I'm going to go check out Psycho Fox.
I'm going to check out this masterpiece. And like, yeah, it's not, but it's,
it is not a masterpiece.
A lot of really interesting ideas and very catchy tunes and good graphics, especially for a Master System game. It's good.
Like old school when Sega was doing weird, interesting stuff like the Alex Kidd shit and My Hero and like all that weird shit that they were doing on the Master System. Like, they really should have done a Master System classic.
It probably would have sold well in Europe. But
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. I want one, though.
I'd love to have one, but you know that thing would have done nothing in America. But then again, Konami's releasing the TG-16, and that's probably going to do about as well as a Master System classic would have. So
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
I would. Those are two that I would have bought. I don't have an NES Classic. I don't have an SNES Classic. I will have a TurboGrafx-16 Classic, and I would have a Master System Classic, though, because they're just weird. They're not games that everybody has. That's kind of what's interesting about it.
Yeah, well, that's what's interesting. I mean, that's what was most interesting to me about the SNES was like, all right, I can get Star Fox 2. That's cool. That's really worth the money. That's what's interesting to me about the Genesis one. Like, there's a genuinely new game, an unreleased Tetris game, and friggin' the Wily Wars. Like, the only way I've played that is on my Repro Genesis cart because it only came out on the freaking Sega channel here in America.
Yeah, like,
that stuff's cool. Interesting.
Do cool, interesting stuff like that, and people will buy it. Like, I don't, you know, the rest of the SNES classic lineup was great games, but, like, I've played all of those.
Yeah, but on the other hand, like, this was the first time we got a re-release of the original Star Fox and of the SNES version of Yoshi's Island, one of the best 2D platformers ever made. Like,
they
put interesting shit on there. It was the NES one that was like, that was the one that didn't really have anything truly special on it, but it was also the first one that really kicked off this micro console thing.
That's true.
You know, this was like, okay, At Games has been doing this with Atari and Genesis for a while, but they've been genuinely garbage.
Garbage.
So we're going to make a high-quality one, and they did, and that was very cool. But then they really kind of blew it off with the Super Nintendo one. We're like, okay, well, now we're going to do some genuinely interesting shit with this. Like, check this out. And it was cool. And this Genesis one looks nuts. The TurboGrafx one is theoretically cool. But, you know, you had this weird shit like the Commodore 64 one was, like, kind of fell flat. I don't think even C64 fans were big fans of that one, but
no, but because again, who cares?
Not me.
In July, I'm just calling all of our July podcasts tonight. When we do what should be on the Game Boy Classic, that'll be interesting.
It will be. But right now, it's late and we got to call it a night. We've been at this for a long time and it was fun. Yeah, you're good. Well, you keep talking. I'm going to go to bed. Okay? Because I'm exhausted. I went for a bike ride today, and it was 450 degrees with 900% humidity.
It really was absurd out today.
So gross out today.
I was pulling stuff out of my attic. Like, I called my children up, like, Daddy may die up here in this attic, so I love you very much. Please get this shit out of my way so I can get out of here.
I didn't even think about it. You were in an attic today. I was in the attic for, like, a few minutes getting some stuff for my collection on the weekend. And I was like, let's do this as like at like 5 o'clock in the morning, because any time later than this is going to be gross.
It was bad. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon. And I was just like, oh my God, who thought this was a good idea? I don't even need this shit. Burn it.
Just leave it here. All right, guys, that is our show. Thank you so much for listening. Join us next time. Next week, we'll be posting this weekend's Too Many Games panel. So if you're not in the Philadelphia area, you'll be able to catch up on all the weird stuff we did this weekend. But if you are in the area, come by on Saturday and see us live, because we'd love to see you.
Unless you're that guy from the Stone Age Gamer message board. And then, like, don't show up, because you'll probably want to punch Chris.
You'll probably want to do that. Half the audience might want to do that anyway. I can't say for sure, because I'm not me, but I feel that I am a very punchable personality.
You're quite punchable, Chris. I mean, I think we would all agree.
I suspect that I want to be punched by more people than not.
It's the complete opposite of me. I feel like more people want to hug me. Like, hey, man, come here. Let me get a hug.
See, I get a lot of hugs, and I feel like the hugs are because it's not socially acceptable to just punch me.
You get Steve Irwin. I fucking slap you on the back. Good stuff. That's a callback to something that might not be in the show, but whatever.
Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we have. Flavors of social media.
You can enjoy how southern you get when you get tired at the end of the show.
Is that what happens? Like, maybe that's why people want to punch me, because, like, you're not Southern. Don't say y'all. You haven't earned that. You're not from the Bayou.
You're not Bayou Billy, motherfucker. You can't say y'all.
Y'all can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram, subscribe to our dope YouTube and Twitch channels.
It sounded as authentic as y'all, Chris. I'm not going to lie.
For all our latest video content.
Youngsters.
And follow us for some reason on Twitter @_Geekade. You can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. That's Geekade KRIS. I'm not on Instagram, but you can find Dan on the Insta Dan.
On the Insta Dan, that's right. Oh, don't do that. That's not cool.
I'm not cool. It's like, I'm allowed to do that all I want. I'm not cool.
When the adults in my life now are like, oh, Dan the man. I'm like, nope. Don't do that. It's not a thing that's all right.
Stop it. But where can people find you?
At Geekade Dan.
Yay. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes.
This was a dense episode, Chris.
It was a dense episode. Show notes are going to be 4 words long. So I cannot be bothered.
We did stuff.
I love it, because I'm going to talk about it like the 10, 20, 30 was the feature topic, but we talked about it for less than a third of the show. But the plan going in is that it's going to be the feature topic, and I write the show notes ahead of time, and I'm not going to go back and amend them.
No,
but you can also find...
Like I said, Chris, condiments, not fucking condiments. Filler on this show. Headlines. No, you said that, actually. I said that was foreplay. Anyway.
You know what? I credit you anyway. You did it.
Thank you. Please do. Take my word for it.
You can subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd like to apologize to Evan for making the show in the first place.
Yeah, you guys have no idea the shit he has to go through. You think what you hear is ridiculous? Ho-ho, Sonny Jim.
Jim? All right. We'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. And I often wonder if he listens to this show, because I feel like if he did, he'd ask us to stop using his music.
We'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for making a decision he probably regrets.
Always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for more fresh original content. That is it. I legit cannot see straight. Thank you for listening. In behalf of Dune and myself, keep playing games.
Dune is overrated. Fight me.